Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is live.
No, look at that. How's that sound, guys? Do I sound good? Scale 1 to 10. Pat, how's the sound?
8.5.
Very good. Very good.
9.
Jason, Mike says 9. Mike says 9. Well, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10. I'm going to go 10.
Okay, great. Well, I like Jason, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It went like just like the Price is Right. You know, that's how it went.
Except the first one says the number loses.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Pat, you go to buy a used car or a new car for that matter. Well, any kind of negotiation, first person throw out a price loses. Just like you said, Pat, it's a sucker's bet to be the first one to throw out a number. Cause then the person can just go, are you crazy? Or if it's a lowball thing, then they gotcha. Cause you already started it too low.
Yep. It's a lose-lose most of the time.
Look, Earth is a losing proposition, to be honest.
Also true.
Life on Earth is generally a losing proposition.
Just like
The Price is Right. So we make the best of it as we go through this, life spinning around on this, this big blue marble. It's just a marble, man. And it's flying through the air going a million miles an hour. My George Carlin.
George Carlin.
I thought that was Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Look, it's George Carlin doing a Randy Savage impression.
What's the reverse?
Oh, yeah. I want to tell you all about the 7 dirty words. I can't say them on the radio right now, but there's some words that you're not allowed to say, and you want to say them, but you can't.
Why do I get no credit for that?
Now, that's really good. I mean, it's getting better. It's actually getting better.
Thank you, Mike.
Are you practicing? I mean,
Mike, wow. You'll never believe I'm not.
Are you practicing?
It's just the worst suck up routine I've ever been a part of.
No, really? Really? I mean, you know, I've humored you in the past, but I mean, that was phenomenal what you did.
Well, thank you.
I always thought it was good. It didn't need any practice.
All right, I'm going to barf. Even me with my desperate need for praise has had enough. Even I know this is false. Are you practicing? Well, I always liked it.
I just killed the stream. We had this.
Oh, moment. Good. Good.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. My friends, the best show is here. It is time for another fun episode. Tonight, the topic, we're going to Freaky Friday it. Who'd you Freaky Friday with? You switch places. And who would you have to realize the converse would be true. They would become you. And who would you want running around your life? That's why you better watch. If you go pick, if you're just like, well, of course I'll take, who's a lunatic? Give me a lunatic. I can't think of a lunatic right now.
Steven Dorff.
Steven Dorff. Thank you.
Dorff.
Maybe not the first name that pops up when you say lunatic.
Even door.
Complete lunatic. But the thing is, you want to be in that Steven Dorff. You're in his body. You got to realize Steven Dorff's in your body. Now you got all that vape juice coursing through your, but you're going to come back. You're going to realize you aged 15 years because he was vaping every waking moment. But no, it is time for the best show to begin. The number 201-3-323-484. You want to get in on the action? Call up. Be a part of it. We got some fun surprises. But I says to you right now, this is what I says. I says, it's time for the best show. Oh, I says it's time for the best show. Best Show. What's up, everybody? How are you tonight? How's it going, everybody, here on this Tuesday night in first week of May 2021? What are we doing? We all having a good time? I hope so. I'm having a good time. The phone number. The phone number is 201-332-3484. If you want to get on the action, call up and be a part of the Best Show experience. Now, many of you over the years have called up and have hung up on you and have yelled at some of you as well. And I know some wear that as a badge of honor that they got. They got old Tom shut them down and they shake their fist, but they still kind of tell everybody about it, that they got shown the door, so to speak, by old Tom. And that's, I'm going to stop calling myself old Tom. I don't like how that feels even a little bit. Tom, not old Tom, Tom. I ain't old Tom. But yes, some people they got the door slammed in their face and hung up on, and they go, oh, you wouldn't believe what Tom did to me when I called up and I tried to say a thing and then he got mad. And I didn't get mad. It's all a larf, my friends. It's all a larf. And I'm just continuing the larfing. It's all we can do in this life. Let's continue the larf. So, let's continue the larf together, huh? Let me see if this works. Wait 1 second. So, where was I? 201-332-3484 is the number. We got Freaky Friday and on the table there. Who would you want to be Freaky Friday and with, and who would you be comfortable Freaky Friday and back with you? Call up. We'll talk about it. We'll figure them out together. Got other stuff coming up. I know I got the crew there. We got, AP Mike. He's one of the mainstays of the deal. How are you, Mike?
What's going on, Tom?
Not a whole lot. You having a good time?
I am.
You got a cold one? You got a cold one in your hand?
I pre-gamed. I wanted to try this, 0.05 thing out.
Tell me more about this 0.05 thing.
So I was telling you about that movie, Another Round.
Yes.
Where the characters try to maintain 0.05 alcohol in their system.
Okay.
And, it was interesting because there was a point when I'm drinking, it's about three pints in.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the golden glow, where I feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm below the DWI level, but I just feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to determine that. And so I had four beers before tonight's show.
Okay.
I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping for a good show.
Oh, there we go. I got to say, on one hand, I'm hoping for a good show as well. Another hand, I'm kind of hoping this isn't an ongoing trend where it's like flatliners, but with booze. You're trying to find the right combination to get the secret to some mystery of life.
Well, I'm reserved as a sober person. I'm a reserved person.
Mm-hmm.
So alcohol, loosens me up a little.
Yeah.
So I feel a little more comfortable, in my own skin. And I'm a little more gregarious.
Okay. A little more. I'm glad you're more gregarious. What, are you going to do a chant?
No.
A Gregorian chant? You're gregarious.
Gregarious, that's it. Yeah.
I thought you'd be I thought you're going to be one of those monks.
I'm going to give you some layups. I'm going to give you some layups, Tom.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, those are just – that's like T-ball.
I'm going to give you some layups.
You set that on the stand.
I'm going to help the show out. And
then you handed me a bat.
Yeah.
I like it. Now, you Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And when it comes to helping the show out, nobody is more synonymous with that than Pat, our friend Pat. How are you, Pat?
Doing good now.
Oh, I love it. That's the spirit. And of course, last but certainly not least, especially this week, Jason Dudio Gore. How are you, Jason?
I'm about 9 beers in, Tom.
Nine in. Okay. Yeah. Well, and how's that experiment working for you?
I'm way past the golden glow.
Okay. The golden glow. People over at Coors are just like, sure about this guy as a spokesman. That would be the greatest thing. Well, what do you think about that, Mike? Well, if we got a full size cardboard cutout of you that could go in a liquor store, like we just made it as if you worked for Coors Light. We
smuggle it in.
Yeah. We just bring it in and unfold it in the store.
Yeah.
And we set it up in front of like a display of Coors Light. Uh-huh. And you see how long it stays up in the store for them. Like, wait, first of all, who is that? Uh-huh. Why is there a life-size cutout of some guy that it says AP? Mine would be like, it would have like that pre-printed signature on it as if you're like a NASCAR guy or something. What if we just made, what if you dressed, oh, this would be perfect. You dress up in a NASCAR jumpsuit. So then they just go, I guess, man, he's a NASCAR
guy. Not going to work because all those NASCAR guys, they look like they're about 12. But, you never but notice about those guys?
With great mustaches.
But what if we just put NASCAR legend AP Mike, right?
I think it would be great. And I still have a connection at a liquor store I worked at 30-some mm-hmm. odd years ago. And I think I could talk them into that. It's a nice big store. It's a Buy-Right.
Here's the new goal.
Oh, Buy-Right's great.
Who can help?
I'm rooting on anybody know it. It's a big, nice
whoever
store.
Whoever can help with this, we need a photo shoot. We need to print them. We need to manufacture them.
Yeah.
You know what, Tom?
What's that,
I can
Mike?
Look into this because there was a guy who used to go to the restaurant down a block from me. And he had some health problems. And, you know, he was a regular at the bar restaurant. And they created a life-size cutout of him. So I can actually speak to the owner there to see where they had that done.
Mm-hmm. And well, maybe let's figure it out.
I get some local business owner to do one of me. I'll definitely follow
up. Or better yet, Mike.
Yeah.
Print up about 50 of them. Let's figure out how much it costs. Start selling them.
50.
I'm telling you.
You're talking life size, right?
Mike, if we did these, you tell me we couldn't sell 50 of these if you sign them?
I'm thinking of the shipping, Tom.
We'll figure the shipping out. That's why the shipping, people know shipping is a part of the deal when they buy stuff.
Okay.
I think a cutout of you holding a Coors Light can in a NASCAR outfit, as if we put it as if you're just like a NASCAR legend. We just put like NASCAR legend AP Mike.
Now, where am I going to get the NASCAR outfit? I mean, you, there's a lot of work involved.
You're not going to
with the whole patches. Thing. Oh, you're saying Photoshop my head on somebody else?
We'll just get you in a generic. We'll just get you in a generic jumpsuit and somebody will put on like a thing of like a Lowe's, and another person will put up a thing for Anderson aluminum siding or whatever.
Judy Rosen could fashion this for me.
Don't loop her with this. I'm still exhausted from last week. No, but maybe, Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe we get you, but I'm telling you, we keep this on the back burner. We think about it.
Okay.
We start selling some AP Mike full size cutout standees that can go in liquor stores with literally no permission from Coors Light. It'll say just like the golden hour. It'll say something about the golden glow. Golden glow.
Yeah.
AP Mike, NASCAR legend. Four times we put like 11-time NASCAR champion. Like, who's going to check that?
Yeah.
Who's going to verify that?
In New Jersey, nobody. Not check it.
Yeah. No, if I went in a liquor store and I saw it said some, if I saw a picture of some guy, like who's give me the name of a NASCAR guy.
I don't know their names.
Kevin something. There's like Kevin Harlick.
Kyle Petty?
His dad was Richard Petty, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But Kevin Harlick, is that a NASCAR guy? Isn't that a guy?
It sounds like it. Yeah.
So if I barely know this stuff and I watch Sports Center and all that business. If there was a thing that said AP Mike, well, maybe not 11-time champion. We'll say just like
nine.
Yeah. Four. We'll say 4-time NASCAR champion AP Mike. Get that golden glow. And then, I got the golden glow. Do you?
Would he be holding 3 Coors beers because that's the amount of beer that you have to drink to get to the Golden Glow?
It's 3 pints or 4 12-ounce cans.
Ah, so 4 cans.
Yeah, 48 ounces.
Okay.
So we'll figure that out. We'll figure the specifics out. I'm telling you, we get these things printed up, Mike. You turn a nice profit. I think it's the way to go.
I like the idea.
So but I want to say this. The show has been, I guess we would call there's been a guest deficiency on the show. Little lack of flamboyance on the show with that stuff. And I feel it in my heart sometimes. But then people are like, well, why don't you just go get a Cameo and get somebody to do it? This Cameo stuff, if you're on Cameo doing those, God bless you. God bless you. You're making people happy, I'm sure. That doesn't move the needle for me, these Cameos. I watch videos of people watching a Cameo where they're like, oh my God, Bruce Boxleitner just told me happy birthday, right? Oh my God, I'm watching the thing. Soup Nazi just congratulated me on graduating from college. I watch these things. Good for these people. Or they'd be like, oh, I can't believe Mark Gastineau just told me, keep your spirits up or whatever it is. I watch them and I'm numb to them. They don't do it for me. Then I get a call. I get a text on the weekend from Jason Gore. And look, think I want to read this on the weekend? No, I don't. He says, you got to check this out. This is a video I need you to watch. And I thought it was going to be something of him doing a thing. It wasn't.
Were you worried that it was like a Dr. Phil video or something?
I thought it was going to be a full-length version of your one-man show. And you wanted me to just sit down wherever I was and wherever watch 70 minutes of you doing your thing. And I would have. Maybe not in one sitting.
Right.
But I would have definitely watched it, and I would love to watch that. That'd be great to see. You're very funny.
Thank you.
But he says, watch this video. Now I watch this video. And trust me, I got moved. He got me something. And I was so moved by it. I opened the video. And who's on the screen? None other than one of my all-time heroes, Robert Fripp from King Crimson, is looking at the screen. And it sounds something like this.
Tom, Robert Fripp, waving to you from the cellar of our home here in Breedenborough, Middle England, to congratulate you on actually getting It Never Ends ended. And I would like you to know that I have pre-ordered it from Amazon here in England, and it may come out on July the 6th over there. It comes out here a month later, but I'm a patient man. Jason would like you to know how excited he is with your amazing book. And Jason is all over it. As my own personal thank you to you and your work, and to celebrate your book coming out, I would like you to invite you to the King Crimson Show in Holmdel, New Jersey, which is currently scheduled for Sunday, the 5th of September. If that's no good for you, well, there's Philly on the 7th of September, and providing these go ahead, your name plus one will be on my personal guest list for those shows. So look, lots of love, Tom. Congratulations, and bless you for your work over the years. Cheers from Robert.
Oh my God. I could not believe it. I got truly moved by that. Jason, you did it. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
And I'll say this, Jason. Let me just say this.
Yeah.
750,000 points.
Wow. I'll take them.
750,000 points. 000.
Thank you.
How much did it cost?
Don't ask. That's tacky. That's tacky.
I'm just curious.
Just curious.
Okay, 750,000.
Great job. Great job, Jason.
I was shocked. Usually when you order one of those things, you don't know what it's going to be. So when it came in over the weekend, I was like, oh my God, this is A. Like when I put in the information, I just gave the information about you. I gave the information about the book, and the rest of it, he researched and bought your book. And it couldn't have been, of all the cameos and stuff like that I've seen, I don't think I've seen one that was kinder.
No.
And yeah, I was blown away.
No, Robert Fripp.
I think I can top it.
All right.
Get his wife in there.
Toya?
Yeah.
Mike had to take the wind out of your sails. Yeah, I think I can top
the wheels,
it.
The wheels are moving, you know? It's
the wheels are moving. Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this. Jason, you choked me up with that. You choked me up. I didn't know what to do. I never fall for those things, but I got choked. Look, maybe he lied about pre-ordering the book. I'm going to assume he didn't. Why would he lie about that? It's a weird thing to lie about.
Yeah. And does the book come out a month later in the UK?
I have no idea.
I guess it does.
Because in the U.S., It Never Ends, my book, people are laughing at and cheering and crying and having a grand old time with, comes out on July 6th in the United States, and you can get it everywhere. He's got it from Amazon. You can get it from anywhere. Get it from a small bookstore. Get it from a big bookstore. Just get it. That's all I ask. You go to tomwroteabook.com to get more information on it. You read reviews of it that we got up on there. Kurt Vile saying nice things. John Oliver saying nice things. Oh, and also at the beginning of the show, I forgot to say, we just heard from that we tried to play it last week, Islands. We're going to play the song Set the Fairlight last week, and I blew it with my computer system, but now it works. It's fixed. It wasn't broken. I just had a thing. Volume was down on it. I'm trying to make it sound like it was worse than it was, because it was just me being stupid. Like, why won't this play? It's because the volume's down. You, Tom, you dunce. But yeah. So we heard Set the Fairlight from the upcoming Islands record, Islomania, which comes out in June. So you get ready for that. And that's a great album. I've been listening to that and been listening to a lot of Islands in preparation for something that old Nicky Diamonds and I are figuring out. But that's a story for another day. Today we talk about this Robert Fripp thing that Jason got me. I loved it. Jason, you got me choked up. You got me choked up. I legitimately got choked up when I heard that. This guy's one of my all-time heroes. Greatest guitarist ever. Reinvented his playing style just to accommodate Adrian Belew making elephant sounds on his guitar. Moved to New York, broke up King Crimson, moved to New York, started getting involved. When all the other prog people are saying, "Oh, disco is terrible and all this stuff," he was in New York City, loved disco in the mid-70s, was saying this is a cultural movement that is as so exciting and so thrilling. He was thrilled by that. He did the Frippertronics. Can't say enough about how much I admire him. Yeah. Somebody on Twitter saying that couldn't help the suspicion that you wrote the ordering the book part into the script.
Yeah, I just
wrote that. I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's not true.
Not true.
So anyway, thank you, Jason. I'm going to play that later. And look, not saying Mike and Pat, you got to go buy a cameo. Just saying let's keep the spirit of the show up. Let's keep the spirit of the show up. Let's keep it fun and exciting. We'll ride the excitement of something like that going to the future. How's that sound? Pat?
Yes.
Thoughts? Any thoughts on that?
I agree.
I want to say this, Pat. You're a class act.
Back at you.
And Pat sent me... Pat sent me the John Swartzwelder article over the weekend, the article that our friend Mike Sachs wrote about the guy, John Swartzwelder, the Simpsons writer, the elusive Simpsons writer.
Recluse, almost.
Almost, yeah. And I thought it was a really good article. It was interesting. It's then that, you know, does this happen to you, Pat? And tell me this. You find yourself, you ever get mad at something and then you start to go like, well, why am I mad at this? And then you realize, oh, I'm not mad at the person that this is about. I'm mad at people talking about the person. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like bad fans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Bad fan. I mean, didn't we do a show, Great Art, Bad Fans?
We did. We did do that. Yeah,
yeah, people can ruin anything. But I was blown away when I woke up that Sunday this past week and I see a post from Mike Sachs saying he interviewed John Swartzwelder. I was like, what? Like, I didn't think anyone ever would have that. And I mean, you know, I just thought it would be, you know, it's like, anyway, I don't want to make comparisons or anything, but like, you know, the guy's like just famously not given any interviews for about anything.
Yeah.
So I was just like, holy, you know. So I mean, I read it. It's great. Congrats to Mike. And, you know, it's a great article. People should check it out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm going to say this. The fans of this guy, there's people that were like, oh my God, this is the greatest comedic voice in my lifetime. It's like, really? You sure about that? You sure of greatest voice? It's like, no, the guy's a wizard and a brilliant guy. I'm undeniably brilliant, highest level comedy mind. But then, and that's fine. You're all excited about him. I think a part of it is the packaging of it, the way everybody gets all twisted with Jeff Magnum. What's his name? Neutral Milk Hotel fella. Right. It's like, this is the greatest. It's like, he's the greatest because he split.
Yeah.
That's why you think he's all, that's like you're, that's adding to why, to his greatness is that he's unobtainable. And that makes, that creates a certain amount of it's like it's like catnip. You get hooked on it. Everybody right. likes a story behind a thing. Like a thing isn't enough. It has to have a story behind the thing. And John Swartzwelder fits the bill for that. Jeff Magnum fits the bill for that. Like the people who, that's why people are always obsessed with people that die too soon. But look at this. I like the I always think you gotta keep in mind the people that, look, if you pass away, you pass away. Of course, that's not comparable, but you gotta give credit. You can't diminish the people that stick around and keep going. Because look, that guy wrote a bunch of books and stuff. I don't like those books. I think those books are corny, to be honest. I read two of them. I thought they were like Dr. John bathroom readers or almost at that level, like word play, and didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
How about you love them? If you love them, I'm not saying you, Pat, if somebody out there loves them, uh-huh. more power to you, baby. More power to you. You find the thing you love and you hold on to it both hands. Those books, it didn't do a whole lot for me, but I read something where some guy was like, tweeting just like, this is the greatest career advice I've ever seen in terms of writing. And I, in my entire life, it has never been expressed in this way. And basically all the guy was saying was, yeah, you write a sloppy first draft of it. Then you go back, you put jokes in on the second pass.
Punch it up. Yeah.
Wait, you say this guy invented punch up?
Yeah.
John Swartzwelder invented punch up. It invented getting the mechanical part of a script or an article or whatever you're writing down, and then you go back and make it better.
No, it's nice to be reminded of, but
no, it's nice to be. Yeah, but I saw people literally just saying like, "This is the greatest advice I've ever seen in my life, and this is why he's a genius." It's like, I don't think this is why he's a genius.
The greatest thing is that the guy gave an interview. I mean, that's the gift.
No, he's a very interesting guy, yeah. And he gave a very interesting interview. I'm glad Mike got that, and I'm glad I got to read it because he's a compelling figure. But it's like, you want to talk about that Army Man stuff? Oh, the Army Man magazine, which there were three issues of that had all these comedy people participated in it. Say this. I'll put Andy Breckman right. Andy Breckman is in Army Man. Andy Breckman, you could put Andy Breckman right next to John Swartzwelder.
I would agree with that.
Early Letterman.
Yep.
Killed it on SNL.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like he did. George Meyer. Any of these people, there's so many people you could put right next. The only difference is that they didn't bounce.
Right.
So that's it. That's all.
You know, Mike Price from The Simpsons?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know him. I think I met him.
I met his wife and his brother at a local bar.
Uh-huh.
I talked you up big time, Tom.
Well, thank you, Mike.
I was out there networking for you.
Nice. Mike, thank you.
Yeah.
When was this?
This was St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And actually, I talked more to his brother's wife than I spoke to him. And I mentioned that you were on the show. She mentioned that Mike Price often pumps his brother for information for stuff on the show, and he doesn't get any credit.
Well, Mike, this might make me want to leave that off the air, but
yeah, we're not cutting that out. That's in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, that to me that sounds natural. You know, you want to get certain details right from when you're growing up. You can ask your brother. You know, he was there.
So it's Mike Price. So you met. What were the names? Low and
well,
half.
Well, yeah, I didn't even get the brother's name.
I think it was half. Right?
But she was very nice.
And Low. And I think her name was Low. You get it, Mike?
Yeah, I get it.
Low price, half price.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Mike, I got to say this. Our friend I don't know if he wants to be named for this. I heard he have a picture of you wearing a NASCAR. There is already,
you're already up there.
Already been okay. Designed.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Is on Twitter?
Let me just say, can I post this? Hold on. Can I post this? Let's see.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
No, what do you want credit? That's the tricky one.
Who is the artist?
My guy. I've got to find out if we have permission for credit.
Okay.
It's Eric White.
Okay. Like, oh, wow.
He's a fine artist.
Yeah.
This is a fine artist.
This isn't some fly by night pay stub job.
No, he's spending his. I'm going to send it to Jason and Pat right now.
Okay.
And Mike, I'm going to say, you cut a dashing figure here.
They all look like they're 15. So, yeah, I'm sure with a 15 year old's body, I'll look all right.
Yeah. I saw if I walked in a liquor store and I saw that there, I'd be like, man, maybe I'll try some Coors Light tonight. Uh-huh. Pat, we got any calls?
We sure do. We have a big one, too.
Okay. Give me a small one, then a big one.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, does he want credit on this?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, great.
I don't know if he wants it. He'll take it. Do you like it, Jason?
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. It's real good.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Nick from Seattle. How are you doing?
Nick from Seattle. What's up, Nick?
I'm actually calling today on behalf of the Jim Henson Company. Are you having a Muppety day?
All right. I'm going to just say this to you right now. You're so close to getting hung up on. We can move forward. You can talk to me normally, or you can do the Muppet routine and the call is going to end.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just calling on behalf of my employer.
Goodbye.
Thank you for calling.
No, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Got calling as Muppet is a Muppet chunk. I'm going to call in. I'm going to say I work for Jim Henson. I'm going to sit on hold for 3.5 hours. Tom loves when people call up and do routines. All right, give me a straight call, please, Pat.
Here comes a straight one.
Best show, hi.
Hi.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Katie in Ohio.
Katie in Ohio. What's up, Katie?
So I wanted to tell you that I found out something about Lou Reed in my family. So
this is going to upset me.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay. So there's this story that I've always known that when, my brother was a baby, he and my parents were in New York City visiting my grandparents, and they were on an elevator and Lou Reed stepped on and said that my brother was a beautiful baby. And I haven't thought about this story in years. But then you mentioned Lou Reed on Double Threat, and I asked my mom about it, and it turns out Lou Reed lived in the apartment right above my grandparents, and he had a little dog that you could hear running across the floor.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you said your brother was a beautiful baby when your brother was a baby.
Yes.
And how long ago was this?
About 30 years ago.
How many years?
Early 90s, 30 years.
Oh, cool. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So I thought I should tell you.
No, that's a great story. That makes my night even that much better.
Oh, good.
What else is going on tonight, Katie?
Well, it's raining, and I am laying in bed. That's about it.
Sounds like a decent enough night.
Yeah, not bad.
What you have for dinner?
Oh, so my fiance actually just came in and said I should tell him about the dreams I've had about you.
Is this going to upset me?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Well, let's find out. Tell me about the dreams you've had about me.
Okay, so I had one.
I'm not a murderer in these dreams, right? I ain't murdering.
No, no.
Okay, all right.
I had one that I went to like an open mic night at a coffee shop, and you played the Double Threat theme on acoustic guitar, and then you kissed my forehead.
Okay, well.
It was nice.
That's a nice moment.
Yeah.
I played the Double Threat theme by Mike Kroll, our friend Mike Kroll, mm-hmm. on acoustic guitar, and then kissed you on the forehead.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
You should see the dreams I got. I'm getting hunted down, chased. Mad Max. It's like Mad Max. Like I go to bed, suddenly I go to Mad Max world.
Oh no.
You'd think it was Mad Max all of a sudden. Original Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Not
I haven't seen that, but I'm sure it's scary.
That new Mad Max, I think we can all say that kind of stinks, right? The one everybody's all excited about.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either, but it didn't look interesting.
It would look. It's fine. It's exhausting, though. I don't know who. Yeah. It's like watching. It's like watching somebody high playing a video game.
Oh no, that's the worst.
Well, it's look. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
But I get why people loved it. Didn't do it for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Like the new Star Wars.
Like the new Star Wars. I do want footage. And also, today is the big day. All these Star Wars fans are saying, oh, it's Star Wars Day. Because there's like a pun. And I don't get it. I don't get the pun.
You don't get the pun?
No.
No.
What is it?
Well, should it? May the Force be with you.
Yes. No, I know that's in the movies. May the Force be with you.
Right. But it's May the Force today.
But why would you say today, may the Force be with you? I don't understand it.
Well, today's May 4th.
And today's it's not May 4th. It's May 4th. Oh!
Oh! Oh, my fiance just came in again and said, it's not a pun, it's C-3PO's birthday today.
All right, tell him to calm down.
Oh, Tom says
what,
to calm down.
What is he, writing a Star Wars FAQ book?
Star Wars fan fiction.
Tell him to cool his... He's writing Star Wars fan fiction?
No, not really, I made that up.
Oh, I was going to say, you might want to... climb out the window.
Yeah, right? Get out while I still can.
Yeah, get out while you still can. While he's just like,
yeah.
Honey, can I read you some of my Star Wars fan fiction? Chapter 11. R2-D2 went into the cantina looking for some oil. And who should come out from behind the bar but IG-88, who was looking for revenge because of the bounty hunter problem in on the deck of the Imperial cruiser. What do you think?
Meanwhile, I'm making a rope out of my sheets.
Yeah, meanwhile, you're just like, yeah, exactly. There's like you're just like, I'm going to put my R2-D2 mask on and my C-3PO mask on and lay in bed. And then meanwhile, you just are hiding under the bed waiting for him to like look to the one side so you can run out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that he'd look in the window would be open. He'd assume you went out the window and he would run there. And then, but you're hiding behind the curtain like an old fake.
Right. Out. You know, switcheroo.
Well, Katie, thank you for the call.
Of course. Thank you.
Have a grand evening. What lines do we have going, Pat?
We have 1, 2, 5, 4.
I will take 5, please. Hello, best show. Hello, best show. I hear something.
You'll never guess who it is.
I'll never guess who it is. I can already tell who it is. What were you playing in the back there?
What do you think it was?
It was a little quiet. I couldn't hear what it was.
It was the Hooters.
The Hooters. Oh, which that, look.
And we danced.
And we danced. That's the classic hit by the Hooters, which means, as if I didn't recognize your voice, that alone would tell me who this is.
Well, I was playing it on the teeny speakers.
Sure. Oh, you have it going through your TV?
No, I have a little mouse friend that I made a little stereo for him in the corner.
Okay. And your mouse friend likes to listen to the Hooters?
He does now.
Oh, this is Philly boy Roy. How are you, Roy?
Well, you know, truthfully, I'm kind of PO'd, Tom.
Okay. Why are you PO'd?
Well, check it out. If I see one more story in the trades where Kate Winslet says how hard it is learning that Delaware County accent for her new HBO show, Mayor of Easttown, I'm going to hurl a pony keg of Yingling through the plate glass window at Gino's Steaks. And also Jim's Steaks. And probably Pat's Steaks, too.
Okay. That's what everybody's talking about?
Oh, yeah, it's in all the trades. Viority, Vanity Fair, a couple of the other ones. Yeah, the broadsheets.
Sure, the broadsheets.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I tried my best to help her and those other actors, but there's only so much one Philly boy can do.
Wait, what do you mean when you say you tried to help her and those other actors?
Oh, yeah. I was hired as dialect coach for that show back in 2019. Didn't I tell you?
No, this is totally news to me now. You were a dialect coach.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like, who else are they going to get? It's like that song from Ghostbusters. When something sucks in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Roy Ziegler. That's how the song went originally on Ray Parker Jr.'s demo. That's what the words was.
Hold on. When something sucks, I can't even. Who are you going to call?
Yeah, you Roy? It. You got it. Yeah.
Roy Ziegler.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that Ray Parker Jr. would have demoed the Ghostbusters theme to make it about you, and then what, he switched it at the last second?
Yeah, they told him he had to switch it because they was afraid I was going to sue.
Hmm. And ironically, then he got sued by someone else.
Huey Lewis, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Huey Lewis, because of that bass riff.
That's right. Yeah, and then I went after Huey too.
You went after Huey Lewis.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Because he had an album called Sports, and I wanted to call my album Sports.
So you sued him.
I did, yeah. You're never going to believe it, but I lost.
Yeah, well, that's a shocker. You mean you lost the case where you sued Huey Lewis for calling an album Sports because you wanted to call your album Sports?
Yeah, truthfully, I had a really bad lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Who was your lawyer?
Roy Jr.
Yeah, that might do it.
He was one.
Because, yeah, the timeline would work out. You had a one-year-old representing you as your attorney.
Yeah, not one of my better ideas, right?
I mean, what did you think? The judge was going to just think he was cute or something and then...
That's exactly what I thought, yes.
Yeah, of course it is. It does. That's not a hard one to get to, Roy.
I thought within like 2 minutes, Roy Jr. would be on his lap and the judge would be bouncing him up and down going, adjourned. I find in favor of the baby and his client.
Yeah, and that didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, what did the judge say?
He threw the gavel at me.
Okay. So you literally got hit by his gavel.
He threw the gavel at me, and then he had Roy Jr. I guess you don't impound the kid. He put him in child protective services for like a week, and then I finally got him back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all's well that ends well, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So check it out. So I get called to do this Mayor of Easttown thing, and you know I'm talking to the producer, and we haggle for a few minutes. I tell him my day rate, but we come to an agreement where they agree to pay off all my parking tickets, and we're good to go, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So I go to the first meeting. I can't believe it when I walked into the room there, all the main actors, almost nobody was American. Kate Winslet's from England. Guy Pearce is from England. Another dude is from England. One dude's from Scotland. And there was the chick who was Australian. I was shocked, you know? And look, truthfully, they was probably as shocked by me and the outfit I was wearing. Guess what I was wearing?
Okay, let me see if I can, just knowing you.
Yeah.
Probably Eagles jersey. No, probably a Flyers jersey.
Yeah.
Eagles baseball cap.
Take it one step further.
Eagles helmet.
Yes.
With a Philadelphia 76ers ski cap on top of it.
Wait, did you see photos of this?
No, this is how well I have a handle on how you think, Roy.
Okay, fair enough.
Sweatpants were probably the, probably Sixers sweatpants.
Yep. I think I had on my feet.
Yeah, yeah. On your feet? Philadelphia Flyers skates.
You did see a photo of me.
I did not see a photo.
Well, that's what I had on, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, wow, that's a pretty... That's a very, you were all Philly, huh?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those skates are hard to walk in, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to get this straight though, you were not at an ice rink. You were at a business meeting and you're wearing skates.
Yeah. Yeah. It was at the Four Seasons on 19th. Super ritzy. And I'll tell you, I ain't been there since I held David O. Russell hostage and made him audition me for Silver Linings Playbook. In the end, he ended up going in a different direction with a different actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Something like that. I can't remember the cat's name.
Yeah. But, you know,
full honesty, I wiped out several times when my blades got stuck in the carpet, and the first time I fell, I spilled my strawberry Yoo-hoo all over the script supervisor.
Okay, so you started off on the literal bad footing.
I did, yeah. Oh, speaking of that strawberry yoo-hoo, yeah, I'm into health food now. I have a mixed Caesar salad every 2 weeks along with my usual well-rounded diet.
So you're into health food because you drink strawberry yoo-hoo.
Don't forget that mixed Caesar salad every 2 weeks.
So once every 2 weeks, you go to McDonald's and order their Caesar salad.
Yeah, with fries, of course, and maybe even a cheeseburger.
Sure. No, of course. Well, you can't just eat a salad by itself.
Yeah, and then, of course, you need dessert, so a McFlurry is definitely in the offing.
Yeah, and I'm going to assume between you and I, probably a chance some of the time you don't finish that salad.
Sometimes I don't start the salad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Sometimes, you know, I'll take a photo of it. I'll gram it so people, basically, so Rhoda sees my Instagram feed and gets off my ass about eating healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I delete it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad you're eating healthy these days, Roy. We need you healthy.
I feel really good now. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. No, how could you not with some fries and strawberry yoo-hoo?
Oh, yeah, those vitamins pumping through my veins.
Yeah, you're probably ready to take on the world, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. So check it out. At this point, I don't even know what this show is called, you know, so I'm just there to get these Holly weirdos up to speed on, you know, how to talk the talk. And when I found out the show was called Mayor of Easttown, I go, you know, you should change it to the Mayor of Roxborough and have it be about me and my shenanigans.
Okay. How did that go over?
Well, at that point, I handed the creator, Brad Inglesby, an 82-page treatment that I carry around with me at all times in case just such a moment presents itself. And he said he'd read it that night, but Tom, I swear I saw Guy Pearce using it to prop up his laptop for a cameo a couple days later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's that must have stung.
Another Hollywood lie.
Yeah, another Hollywood lie. I'm sorry, Roy.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, once we got down to business, you should have seen the actors' faces when I wrote out the name of Philly's main river and asked them to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, it's spelled S-C-H-U-Y-L-K-I-L-L. Oh, my God. Schorkel? Schorkel?
Mm-hmm.
Schorkel, you idiots. It's so clear.
So did you call them idiots?
I did, yes. And, you know, look, Kate did nail Wooder right off the bat, you know, but any clod can get that right, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of her, I get into this whole tete-a-tete with her. You didn't know I spoke Spanish, did you?
I didn't. I still don't.
Okay, fair enough. So check it out. The show is set in Delaware County.
Yeah.
She had reservations about me having a handle on that accent because, I ain't actually from Delaware County. And I go, look, I may be Roxborough for life, but I get around, and I get around hard. I know every nook and cranny of Delaware County like the back of my copy of Blue Oyster Cult's Mirrors album. You know, fun fact about that album, a lot of people don't know the front cover picture is a painting, not a photo.
That's interesting. I don't know if I knew that.
You got to check it out sometime. But look, when it came time to put the rubbers in the road, she just wouldn't do the real work.
And what is the real work?
Oh, you know, going on a 14-day bar crawl, hitting all the funkiest dives in Delco with me and Roy Jr. You know, he can drive now.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so basically just hitting all the cool spots, you know, in Yaden, Colwyn, East Lansdowne, Glen Olden, Marcus Hook, Upper Darby,
Rutledge, Trainer, Marple, Radner, Chadsford, Boothwin, Haverford, Wawa. You know, which a lot of people don't know, Wawa is a town as well as a five-star restaurant. Where else?
I didn't know either of those. I didn't know Wawa was a town. I didn't know that it literally got five stars.
Oh, yeah. I've been to one that has a table.
What? Say that again?
I've been to a Wawa that had a table.
A table?
Yeah.
But did they have, like, a waiter come over?
No, but it was a table. You know, you order your hoagie at the hoagie station, and then you sit down and you enjoy your hoagie.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Only one of them. Yeah. Where else were we going to go? Fallcroft, Upper Providence.
Okay, Roy, okay, I get. How many more of these?
Lower Chichester, Drexel Hill, which is, of course, where Psychotic Norman wrote and rehearsed what would become 1985's Davy Jones water cooler 7-inch, Never Providence, Tinicum, Ridley Park, which is, of course, where the Dead Milkmen had their first rehearsals with Dean Klein coming all the way in from Percussy. You know, places like that.
Is that on that single? Is Cosmic Rap on the flip side?
No, A-side is Cosmic Rap, and number two slot is Davy Jones Water Cooler. No, I'm sorry, Man Means Fish is the lead-off track. Davy Jones Water Cooler is number two. Flip side, because it's so long, it's an epic Cosmic Rap.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's a crucial 7-inch.
It's crucial, yeah.
It is. I seen a guy at the FMU Record Fair sell it for $200.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Check it out. Anyway, after I run down that very short list of places we were going to visit, she was all, those all sound like English town names, Roy. And I was like, hey, go back to drinking hot tea and eating digestives. We had them first, babe.
Okay. How'd that go over?
Well, you know, she was not into it, and she had, like, you know, she pulled up these websites, and I'm like, you know, anyone can put anything on the web, honey.
Mm-hmm. A lot of babes and honeys, you're saying here, but let's...
And she hated both of them, Tom.
Well, there's a shocker. She didn't like the dialect coach calling her babe.
Well, you know, it was my turf.
Okay, so it's a turf that you see it as a turf thing then.
It's a turf war, like that great movie Turf War from the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Turf War. What movie is that?
I'm thinking of Silkwood.
Yeah, that's different. That's not Turf War.
No, she has that funky new wave haircut. I thought she was like a new wave singer, and there was this other band that was coming into her town, and she had to get off work at the nuclear plant to go have a battle with them. Isn't that it?
I'm pretty sure that's not the plot of Silkwood.
Oh, I thought I saw a log line once that said that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you really got that industry. You got all the trades, the what did you call them? The broadsheets or whatever?
Broadsheets. Oh, yeah. All the magazines. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call times. Yeah, that's when you're needed on set is the call time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Reshoots, that's when, like, an actor, they process the film and they realize one of the actors had, like, a chive in his teeth, so they got to reshoot.
Okay. Well, this is a real look behind the curtain.
That's right, Mr. Showbiz. Hey, so check it out. I tried to bond with Kate on cultural stuff like common ground. It turns out she's from Reading, England. So I asked her the first logical question. You know, if she saw Twisted Sister at the Reading Festival in '82 when they got pelted with pee bottles, but she didn't know what I was talking about.
No, that sounds weird that she wouldn't know that.
I know. It's like in your backyard. It's the biggest thing that ever happened to that town.
Yeah, sure. Twisted Sister playing there when she was a child.
Yeah.
And that... So she, so it sounds like you and Kate Winslet had some rocky relationship.
Yeah, so I try to show her how to do things Philly style, you know, like how to steal a whole display box of peanut chews when the Sunoco cashier ain't looking, how to order and eat a hoagie. We got into a big screaming match about that, Tom.
A screaming match about how to eat a hoagie? How to order a hoagie, okay. And what is that?
She wanted her roll toasted.
Okay. I know that's a big no-no for you.
Massive no-no. And so I'm already furious. And then I tell her, you know, oh, you got to get chips. They call them crisps over in England. Anyway, she went over to the chip rack and she picked hers chips, not Utz.
Oh, my goodness. I can't. I don't know how you could have contained yourself.
I didn't. I ran out of that Wawa screaming, I don't know her. I don't know her. Which was smart because it drew all the attention to Kate and deflected it from the 25 pasty cakes I had under my trench coat. I saw that with my buddy Patrick Berkery. He's a tea cake head also.
Okay, well, that's good. That's it's not good that you're shoplifting tasty cakes. That's not good.
Oh, that could be debated too.
No way. What could be debated?
Well, maybe Patrick didn't have no money that night.
Hmm. Well, did he?
Hungry. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, then he did have money.
Yeah, we bought a whole bunch of weed that night. He paid for it.
Okay. All right. Well, Roy, that's yeah. So she really seemed to get on your bad side.
Yeah, we did not get along great. I did get along great with Jean Smart. She was really cool, and we actually had a couple grunt sessions. What?
Oh, wait. Just tell me, what's a grunt session?
First, let me ask, this isn't an X-rated show, is it?
Oh, okay. That's awful. I don't like that. I didn't know that's what that was.
Oh, see, you got to get a lot hipper.
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess I got to get a lot hipper. I didn't know what that was, and I wish I still didn't know what it was. I wish I could go back to the innocence that I had 1 minute ago.
You know that song, If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher?
Yeah.
The original lyric was about going back in time so she could not find out about that very term.
Wow. Well, then I guess I have something in common with Cher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Roy, the big thing here is that I cannot believe you even got hired as a dialect coach. And I'm not even sure how this happened exactly.
Oh, yeah. The Ziegler's got a long history of doing dialect work over the years. My dad, Philly man Stan, he coached Burt Young on Rocky and Donna Pascal on that TV show Angie with their Philly speak. Mm-hmm. And Stan's uncle, Broad Street Bill, he coached Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, and Katharine Hepburn in the Philadelphia Story back in 1940. How crazy is that?
That is that. Well, that's very interesting, you know. But I would say that the Philadelphia Story, I'm pretty sure, was probably not filmed in Philadelphia. I think it would be filmed in Hollywood. That's where they made all those movies.
Oh well. When I say he coached them, I mean he saw the movie at the Fox Theater on 16th and Market and yelled at the actors until the ushers called the cops on him. You know, he became known as the Center City movie yeller, and he even did some personal appearances at Local Five and Dimes, where he earned neither fives nor dimes.
So was it your granduncle?
He would be my granduncle, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, your granduncle. So your granduncle was known for the what was he called? The Center City Yeller?
The Center City Movie Yeller.
The Center City Movie Yeller. I guess that means that there was just a Center City Yeller who your uncle, your granduncle needed to differentiate from.
That's right. There was another guy who would just go up and down Broad Street yelling at people.
Sure, sure. So he was a little bit of a celebrity, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He couldn't monetize it, though. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He died in a ditch.
He died what?
He died in a ditch. Yeah, okay. up around Pottsville. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Well, the rest in power to your granduncle.
Anyhow, so here's the way that this whole Mayor of Easttown thing ended. Guy Pierce, he was mad at me because he thought I stole his wallet. And he made this big stink about it to the director and the creator and mm-hmm. the showrunner. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to ask, Roy, did you steal his wallet?
Well, define steal.
Define steal. Okay, well, this is a pretty easy one. Did his wallet end up in your pocket? Did you take his wallet from him and put it on your own person?
Oh, then yes. Yes, I did do that.
Okay. Yeah, well, then that gives him every right to accuse you. He was rightfully accusing you of it.
Well, that can be debated, but I get up and I tell them, you know, I could never work for a show that's so suspicious of its employees. And I skated out of that room in defiance, taking out several fruit baskets, 8 full cups of coffee, and 3 iPads in the process.
Yeah, you really just you had to make your mark, huh?
Well, I tripped because I had the skates on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you still had the skates on.
I didn't plan it. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Oh, you know, but what really burns my shorty is who they got to replace me as dialect coach.
Who did they get to replace you?
My arch rival, Kurt Vile.
Kurt Vile was the dialect coach for the mayor of Easttown?
Yeah.
So they replaced
slap
you.
Slap in the face.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a slap in the face. You know, I mean, I thought you guys were friends.
Oh, we was tight bros from way back when. I was the dude who first smoked him out and stole him his first Hooters tape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
But, you know, he's not only on my ass hit list because of that. He's also on my ass hit list because I was supposed to produce the new Dinosaur Jr. album, not his ass.
You were supposed to produce the new Dinosaur Jr. album?
Yeah.
And why did that, what happened?
Well, I had this great meeting with Jay, Lou, and Murph, and everything was going swimmingly until their manager called a few hours later. You're never going to believe this. He's asking if I stole their wallets. Can you believe that indignation of that?
Well, let me ask you again, Ron. I'm just going to... It's going to be a literally the same question twice. Did you steal their wallets?
What is this, an inquisition? I don't have to stand for this. Look, I've got a life, okay? I got to run in a second. I've been hired to teach Paul Rudd how to speak Northeast Philly for this new Ben Stiller flick about the Four Seasons landscaping incident.
Wait, there's a movie about that?
Yeah, yeah. It was in all the broadsheets, Tom.
Okay, again, the broadsheets. And who is Paul Rudd playing in it?
He's playing Rudy Giuliani. And he's also playing this kid from Philly. It's almost like a Clifford turn. He's playing a 13-year-old. But he's got a young face.
Okay, wow. Yeah, he does. He's very...
I got to teach him that stuff, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, in preparation, we're going to do a bar crawl through a bunch of those Northeast neighborhoods. You know, Ronhurst, Busselton, Upper Northwood, Tacony, Lawndale, Crescentville,
Upper Holmesburg, Fox Chase, Somerton, Bell's Corner, Burholm. All right, look, I gotta go. Okay. You have a great night, and I bet you thought I was going to curse at some point, didn't you?
I had a feeling you might.
Well, for your information, this is a Christian household, you prick.
Oh, thank you. There you go. Wow. Roy, he's gone. Unbelievable. Philly boy Roy. Man, could this chair squeak anymore? Could this chair squeak anymore? Is that how he says it? Could this chair squeak anymore? Der Bingle, Chandler Bing. That's the man. Oh, now let's get to the matter at hand. I think we have a topic. Pat, are there any callers for the topic?
Full phones.
This is what I like. This is lining up to be, I got to say, pretty good night. This is a pretty good night. As Larry David would say, pretty, pretty good. Let me just say this before we go to the phones. Everybody's all twisted. This Elon Musk is hosting SNL, right? Everybody's all mad that he's hosting. Did you guys miss something about Saturday Night Live at some point? You miss something? Like about SNL? Did you think that it was something that it isn't? It's like we're almost 50 years in on this, guys, of everybody assuming that the show is a pinch here and a tweak there from being some amazing bastion of sketch comedy. It's Saturday Night Live. It's a place for the funny people to get paid for a while before they go do the funny stuff. That's what it is. It's a place for you to meet some people and go, oh, guess what? They were fun. They're funny. I realize they're funny. And the next thing they did after that show. Am I wrong about that, Jason?
I think you're right.
It's like, oh, how can they have this guy host it? Simple. It's Saturday Night Live. That's how.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Richard Branson hosted in the 90s.
Steve Forbes hosted.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me a few weeks ago, and I had totally blocked that episode out.
Pretty sure the last president also was a host a couple times.
Yeah, he hosted.
Twice.
Ladies and gentlemen, Toots and the Maytals. Once again, Toots and the Maytals. Who was a musical guest on his second one when he hosted? We got a great show for you.
That one was
Imagine Dragons are here. We got a great show for you tonight. Another Bad Creation are here. Imagine that. That would have been the coolest thing. Donald Trump and Another Bad Creation. Remember them? I do my tricks at the playground, you know? Those kids were so cool. Another Bad Creation, ABC. They were good. Remember that whole Belle Biv DeVoe? They had their umbrella of all these different artists, including Motown Philly back again, right? Do a little East Coast swing. Remember that song? Dum 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 da da, dum 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 da da. Bye ya ya ya. Wow, 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 wow. Dum 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 da da, dum 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 da da. Why ya ya ya? Do you remember that song? Huh? Wow, wow, wow. Were they saying wah wah wah? It's like wah wah because it's Motown Philly. We'll never know.
Sia was the musical guest for the second Trump.
Yeah. Back in school, we used to dream about it every day. That's a good song. Motown Philly. Dum 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 da da. Dum 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 da da. Why, yeah. I interviewed them once, Boys to Men, for a basketball magazine I was writing on. They were like, go interview Boys to Men and ask them about basketball. So I did. They're nice guys. Very nice guys. That's it. That's the end of that story. They all don't have to go down in flames. Sometimes they can work out. They all don't have to be. Yeah, and then the one guy from Boys to Men gave me a wedgie, and everyone laughed.
Was it four members, or was it after they kicked that one guy out?
Did they kick him out, or did he leave?
I think he... I think there was some animosity there. I think he got kicked out.
And did they say to that guy when they kicked him out, they said, we got to tell you, it's the end of the road for you being in this band. We packed up your stuff. It's over by the door. You can head on out. No?
No, that's exactly how it went down. Yeah.
It was three guys.
Yeah.
Like if suddenly they huddle, like the three guys huddle, they're just like, hey, we just want to sing a song for you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, sing it.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? It's the end of the road for you in Boys to Men. We packed up your stuff. It's in a box by the door. No, it was three members. Very nice. How'd we get here? What was I talking about?
SNL.
SNL, yeah.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Look, he's going to be terrible. He's going to be atrocious. And then he's like, so what skits do you guys want me in? And then like the one guy was like, hey, first of all, they're sketches. It's like, are they? You sure you could call some of those things sketches? No offense to SNL cast members. Some of those might not be sketches. Some of them might be skits. When they do Trump in the White House, those were skits. Those are not sketches. Barry Gibb talk show, that's a skit. That's not a sketch. They're sketches, but they're skits. They do a little bit of both. So anyway, it's time for that Musk, right? Can you smell the Musk? The Elon Musk. He's coming. Give me a call, Pat, please. Beshel, hi. Hello, Beshel.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Of course. To whom am I speaking?
This is Joseph in Manhattan.
Joseph in Manhattan. Well, what part of Manhattan are you in, Joseph?
Inwood, around 194th Street, around.
Okay. Well, what you got for me, Chief?
I had something for the topic tonight, Tom.
Freaky Friday, an old Freaky Friday.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had two people for the topic who are different from each other, but kind of fulfills the same goal. For Freaky Friday, for a limited time, I'd like to pick either Robert Pollard or Greg Turkington.
So you want to do a Freaky Friday with Robert Pollard, for example?
Yes.
And what do you think that would be like for you to be in his skin? What do you think that would be like?
I'd like to see what that would be like. You know, I see Mr. Pollard as a very prolific artist who is constantly putting out stuff I like. Same thing with Greg Turkington. And that's something that I'd like a bit more of in my life. You know, not saying that what I would come up with would be necessarily as good as theirs, but just being prolific with things I consider worth putting out there. And I think those two are really strongly associated with that.
Sure. So you picture yourself, suddenly the Freaky Friday happens and you're like, whoa, and you wake up and you're in Dayton now, right?
Exactly.
And then what do? You get the band together? You want to jam?
Yeah, I got the band together at the club and maybe put something on the TV in the background, but just play songs or new song ideas for hours on end.
Now, would you jam on any of the ones that you know, like any of the hits?
If they'd be amenable to, I guess if I was Robert Pollard, they'd have to be amenable to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Something you're Robert Pollard, you just say, all right, we're doing Don't Stop Now, right? All of a sudden you're like, absolutely. Woke up one morning, saw a rooster strutting by my house. Sick pack ring round its neck. Cock of the block. That'd be you. And you'd be the one going, yeah, don't stop now. Don't stop now.
Yeah, that's it. If you don't know how to play the cello, learn to play the cello for that intro.
Do the next line. Do the next one. You know it. Come on.
What makes Big Daddy happy?
Yeah, but sing it. Don't just speak it. What are you, Rod McEwen? You're doing spoken word? No, sing it. You're not Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond ain't the front man of Guided by Voices. What makes Big Daddy happy? What makes a buzz a buzz, right? A leaky quart of motor oil and run and head for the hills. That'd be you.
That would be me.
But then meanwhile, Robert Pollard would be going through your life. What would that be like?
I think Mr. Pollard would then come back. It's more a selfish thing. I think there'd be more benefit for me, but I think he would find a pretty great appreciation for his lifestyle once he comes back.
So this is a total one-way street for you.
Well, I know that he used to be a teacher,
he'd be back to being a teacher.
Experience back of, no, I'm not a teacher myself. Maybe he'd get the experience of 9 to 5 again in case he's ever in the doldrums or just, you know, losing sight of, what he's got going on. Mm-hmm. You know, he lives a bit of my life and comes back and then records another 40 albums.
Well, tell me one thing that Robert Pollard would experience when he's looking through your eyes.
Through my eyes.
And how that would go. Because now he Freaky Friday'd into your body. What's a thing he'd experience? You online at Jimmy John's waiting order?
No, not quite that. I think he'd listen to a lot of Cousin Brucey.
Okay, well, he might like that.
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah. It's Cousin Brucey. Cousin Brucey's a guy who used to be on CBS FM, which was this oldie station in New York. He was like one of the good guys in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, he was on ABC. He's actually back there now.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back on WABC. What's he filling in for Rush Limbaugh?
Tony Orlando.
They try to do a whole thing on the weekend where they're getting away from what they actually are during the week.
So, I just want to tell you, Cousins. Hey, Cousins, the Capitol got stormed. That was a justified action. There was a peaceful movement. Antifa was the one storming the Capitol, Cousins. Just want to tell you, those were not Trump supporters storming the Capitol, Cousins. Is that what he's talking about? Now that he's on WABC?
No, he tries to do a whole non-political thing.
So I got the podium here. I got the podium from the Capitol building, Cousins.
know, one of the really cool things I think was the election night. You know, that station is what it is, but election night, he said, "Cousins, the election's over." That Saturday after election when it was called. He said, "Cousins, the election's over." You know, that's it.
Here's Dion and the Belmonts.
Yeah, that might have been the first song that night.
Who's your favorite of all the pre-rock artists, my friend? The pre-Beatles stuff.
Pre-Beatles stuff.
If you're listening to Cousin Brucey, you like some of that stuff. What do you like?
Well, I love Dion and the Belmonts, so that's sure. A pick. But I would say Dion and the Belmonts. And Dion, you know, solo for his afterwards.
What's your favorite Dion song?
I like their cover of Where or When.
Okay.
I don't know what it's from, but I think Rogers and Hart wrote it.
Okay. All right.
Give a arrangement to it.
Well, that's a good one to picture, my friend. You and Robert Pollard switching places. He's stuck listening to Cousin Brucey. You're meanwhile rocking out, playing shows.
Yeah, you know, actually, when I think about it, Tom, I might actually have the better end here.
I think you might have won that one.
Indeed.
No. You gonna get my book? You gonna get my book?
It's already ordered, Tom.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Thank you.
In an hour of you announcing it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great night, my friend.
Thanks, Tom. You have a great night, too. Thanks so much.
Bye, of course. Pat, give me a call, please.
See.
Besho, hi.
Hey there.
Hey, who's this?
This is Colette from Athens.
Oh my goodness, Colette from Athens. This is one of the. This is what you call a heavyweight in terms of the caller game. Colette brings it every which way, every which time she calls. And Colette was just on the most recent Double Threat, which is the show that I do every week over on the. Forever Dog Network with my friend Julie Klausner, the very talented Julie Klausner. And we do that every week, and that comes out on Mondays. So you get the best show on Tuesdays. It's a good back-to-back combo for people who love to laugh. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Colette?
Oh, you know, just had some stuff for the topic, or at least had one thing for the topic. So, yeah.
I'm ready to hear it.
So.
What's that?
I was just saying, we have spoken recently, so I don't have anything to
That's fine. Yeah. No, we're good. We're good.
My Freaky Friday, I think that as soon as I say it, will come as no surprise, but if I could pick anybody, it would be Vince McMahon.
So you would do a Freaky Friday with Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
And just tell me what you think one day is like. Because let's say it goes for 24 hours.
Okay, so for 24 hours, I think I could ruin him in 24 hours.
What time do you think? So that's your goal. Your goal is to do some damage.
Oh, yeah. Like, just completely crush this dude. I mean, for one, I'm consigning him to live 24 hours in the body of a fat trans woman. So immediately haunted for the rest of eternity. As if he's not already, but
sure,
I've got that going on. I won't say negatives, but I can use my traits as positives in this so far as like,
well, those are not negatives. Those are not negatives, Colette.
No, absolutely not. To him, they would be. And that's the pleasure of this.
If he was suddenly like, hold on a second, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm trans now, right?
Yeah.
And he's screaming. No, that would be, but what would you do? Let's focus on what you would do. His deal is his deal.
Yeah,
he might ruin. He might ruin you right back. Go to the record store. He'll start pricing collectible stuff. Oh, I'm gonna get Colette back. This record is a this. I'm putting this Velvet Underground original banana cover for $4. It's a torso cover. Mono East Coast pressing. I want to say this too. A sidebar. Anybody out there listening, you got a Primo Velvet Underground and Nico original banana cover, ideally a torso cover. Tommy's looking for one. Tommy's looking for one in his life to be nice. And I would be willing to work out payment plans. I'd be willing to work out payment plan, whatever. If you're listening to this, no joke. No joke. I'm serious. I'm in the market. Once in my life, I got to pull the trigger on something like that for myself. So if you got a VU cover in, I want a beautiful one. Let's talk turkey. That's all I'm saying to the listenership.
I might have one.
Oh.
I'll check tomorrow when I get in the store.
All right. So you wake up and you're Vince McMahon, and what do you do now? What's the first order of business?
Yeah. I skip working out. No working out for Vince McMahon while I'm in his body. I go to the WWE Thunderdome, and I start posting a bunch of flyers about how unionization is great, and place copies of the Communist Manifesto in everyone's locker room.
Okay. okay.
I immediately fire every wrestler who is, a terrible right-wing shill and/or has been accused of unsavory dealings in the past, but they won't know that because it's just, budget cuts. That's what I'll frame it as. And then I will hire back 100 different people to jobs that are difficult to be fired from, and give them all like crazy raises.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the TV show will be good for the first time in like 10 years. And everyone will be like, I wonder what the hell happened. And the next day when the show after that sucks, everyone will be like, Jesus, like what the fuck was in? Sorry.
All right.
I can't believe it.
You got fired up. You got ramped up there. You thought you did. Vince McMahon, I'll tell you one thing. I know you didn't do a Freaky Friday because Vince McMahon would not have slipped like that.
Vince McMahon is
a broadcasting professional, Colette. No, I'm kidding. So you look, it's
he's never.
So you spread the Communist Manifesto all around the building. You'd fire bad wrestlers and hire good ones.
Yeah. I would definitely, Hulk Hogan, would once again be persona non grata in professional wrestling. It'd be a good day. It would be one good day in the thing that I love.
Name one thing that Hulk Hogan did wrong.
Just one?
Yeah, just give me one.
Well, he ruined American journalism. That's kind of a big one.
Yeah, that's like that. Look, the was that Gawker?
Yeah.
Look, I don't like how Hulk Hogan destroyed them, but I also Gawker sucked also, but that doesn't make it right to destroy it. Sometimes you got to have stuff that sucks in the world.
It's the part where, like, later when, like, I think, like, in the middle of when people were starting to, like, be like, well, how come Donald Trump, like, there's no reports about Donald Trump's various misdeeds or whatever. And I think the New York Times or something like that published something about how, like, major news corporations were afraid of publishing stuff like that because of what had happened to Gawker. So essentially, like, Hulk Hogan had, like, scared journalism into silence on a lot of things.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, okay, like, he never worked a main event with an African-American person who wasn't Dennis Rodman or Zeus Tiny Lister. like, period. That's pretty bad. Like, he's not great.
I said one thing, not five.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm
all
kidding. Right. I'm joking. He did on the plus side, though, with Hulk Hogan, he did have that special ability, which I've discussed on the show before, when he'd be hurt, right?
Yeah.
And then he'd get punched in the face. And then he would get, like, be more hurt. Then he'd get punched in the face again. He's even more hurt. You're like, how is this still happening? And then he had the ability to completely go against the way the human body works, and he'd get hit the third time, but now he's like, nuh-uh, brother. Like, somehow he gained strength at a point when everyone else would get more hurt. When you're getting hurt, you tend to just get more hurt the more you get hit. Hulk Hogan had the magical ability to get hurt and hurt, and then somehow the hurt made him stronger than ever. And then your goose is cooked. How did he do that?
I have no idea. But I think the trick is to only punch him once.
Or twice. You hit him twice.
No one ever hit him.
If you hit him that third time, he shakes that one off. And it's like the opposite of Candyman. He's like Candyman, but for wrestling. And speaking of which, Candyman would be the first person you would visit within the, once you're in the body of Vince McMahon, you'd go visit the Candyman. You'd be just like in the parking lot of a CVS shoving Snicker bars in your mouth. And Vince McMahon, like, you're seeing how much damage you could do to Vince McMahon's weirdly jacked body.
Yeah, the day after, knowing full well that I wouldn't, like, experience any of the ill effects of the day after, it'd be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. I got a stomach ache. I don't feel so good. So if you had to say one nice thing about Hulk Hogan, what would it be? He's a good guitar player.
Something that, like, I think Bob Mould was right about Hulk Hogan, and he was interviewed by a friend of mine, Robert Newsom, in a zine, The Atomic Elbow, like a million years ago. Because Bob Mould
magazine, was right, I love that magazine.
You do?
I love The Atomic Elbow. I got sent a bunch of issues, and I really enjoyed reading it. I like reading. I have that thing, Colette, where it's like, do I watch wrestling? No, I don't. Am I interested in it? Yeah, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in the stories. I'm interested in every part of wrestling except the wrestling part. I find interesting. The worst part about wrestling is when they wrestle.
Yeah, I agree with you most of the time.
I like when they're doing the backstage stuff. I like the real life stories. I like every part of it. The wrestling part, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. I am with you there. And, like, in that zine, Bob Mould said that, like, Hulk Hogan had this, like, insane talent for knowing exactly what time it was while he was wrestling. Like,
okay,
if you told him he had to wrestle for 12 minutes, he would wrestle 11 minutes and 59 seconds. And every single time, like, he would never miss. And, like, that's talent. And I think that beyond, like, timing, mm-hmm. it's like knowing the structure that you're going for to the point that, like, you can't mess it up. Like, is it a fun routine to watch for 30 plus years? No, it's a fun routine to watch when you're like five, but he's extremely good at it, and he's never really been meant for anyone over the age of five. So what's to really complain about?
Sure. These are the things I would say, but if I had to say nice things about Hulk Hogan, these are the things I'd say. Number one, amazing guitar player. We've all seen the footage of him rocking out. He's a pretty solid guitar player. Not a lead player, but a good rhythm. He's a good rhythm guitar player. He is one of the great pasta chefs in America. He introduced Italian cuisine to Minnesota with his Hulk Hogan's Pasta Factory. Is it called Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania?
Pasta Mania.
Pasta Mania, brother. You come on down, you get the pasta. If you do, could you imagine how bad that pasta must have been? Imagine how how overcooked it must have been. Imagine how flavorless. And then when they put that ketchup on it, that must have been what they called like sauce. It was probably just ketchup. It probably was like, how much ketchup do you want on your pasta, brother? So he was an amazing pasta chef, an amazing guitarist, but most of all, he was a real American.
Yes. What more could anyone aspire to?
Yeah. I am a real American.
Freaky Friday with Hulk Hogan, I would wear his yellow bandana into a leather bar and see what happened.
Oh my God. That is, you're really weaponizing the Freaky Friday over there. It was meant to be a fun, fun side thing. You're approaching it just like, oh, who are we going to ruin? Like you're out for blood with your Freaky Friday, Colette.
What can I say?
No, I'm not putting it down.
I'm going to learn about life from other people.
I hear you. Well, that is amazing. And what do you think Vince McMahon would be Vince McMahon's takeaway from your life when he's getting your end of the Freaky Friday?
I think he might walk away from temporarily a better person until he saw what I did to his company. I'm all right. Like, I'm not the greatest. I'm not the nicest. I'm not, anything like that. But I think that rich people in general could stand to learn a little bit more about how marginalized people live. And
I don't know about that. Yeah. I'm kidding. Of course.
A gift.
I mean, what are you asking for? You're asking for a lot there.
Yeah, I know.
I think it would be great. Vince McMahon the next day would wake up and he'd say, I've decided that we need to be more inclusive in the WWE. And then he would suddenly create the most repulsively offensive trans wrestle character. Like you would have, and you're the architect of it somehow. Your Freaky Friday made the world a much worse place.
I guess that's the monkey's paw version of Freaky Friday. I've invited on myself.
People would be like, where on earth would he get the idea for this? It's a new low. And then you're like, whoops. No, I think that's very funny, Colette. But it's not surprising because you're very funny, Colette.
Oh, well, thank you, Tom.
All right. Well, I'm going to wish you a fond adieu and a great evening.
Yeah, you too. Until next time.
Okay. You take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Colette's one of the greatest callers in the history of the show. Pat, who would you Freaky Friday with? Who would you want to do Freaky Friday with?
Oh man, I haven't given this one much thought for myself.
Well, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Just between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Mike or Jason, who would you Freaky Friday with?
I don't think I would want a Freaky Friday with them. I love them, but I wouldn't want to do that.
I don't know why I'm making it so dramatic. Oh. No, I hear you. Look, how about you, Mike? Who would you want to, Jason or Pat?
I can't do Pat because he doesn't drink, right?
That's right.
So that's no fun.
Yeah. Unless you started, unless you started him off.
I'm trying to get with the premise, right?
You start with the best show next week.
I could be the drinking Pat.
Yeah.
Well, that would be interesting. Yeah. Go the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, that would be, it would be challenging. I could get him into a, and it only, it lasts for one day. Is that how it works?
Yeah, let's say 24 hours.
I didn't see Freaky Friday.
You got to check it out. It's on the Criterion Channel. You should check it out.
Yeah, I would go with Pat because it would be, I could act out and then there'd be repercussions when he switched back. You'd be in a lot of trouble. Like, what happened to you, Pat?
You'd be in a lot of trouble.
Did you lose your mind?
Yeah.
Maybe you get me out of my shell somehow. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I would switch back and I would only experience a hangover. I wouldn't experience any of the.
Yeah, you'd get the downside. Yeah, it works out for me both ways. Because you'd be stuck with the hangover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to have all the fun. Yeah, it worked out. I don't know why nobody's saying, for guys, wouldn't you want to be a woman for a day to see what that whole experience is like?
Well, Mike,
that would be my, you know, my thing. You could test the theory about which feels better, the finger or the itchy ear.
What? I don't want to ask what that means.
It's not that hard to figure out, Tom. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'd want to be a woman, right, to see what that's all about. But I guess like that's been a movie, right? There's been a movie like that. Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Yeah. What Women Want, Mike.
I never saw that one either.
That's a good movie. You got to check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I think I would Freaky Friday with like a conservative talk show host.
Okay.
And then
Kennedy. Kennedy would be perfect.
Kennedy? What do you mean?
But I guess she's a libertarian, right? Aren't there a bunch of libertarians on Fox?
Oh, I don't even know. But an extremist like Alex Jones, if I could Freaky Friday with him, I'd have his platform, and for a day, I would just freak everybody out by being like, you know what? I've been off target about everything. Here's what's going on.
Yeah, you'd do some permanent damage.
Yeah. Just have it just unravel for somebody, you know?
What about this? If you did that, and then you found out that Alex Jones did a show as your as They Live, that he was the front man for your band, your They Live themed band, and the band is called They Live.
Yeah, I mean there is another band. There's been many bands in the history of time called They Live, but there was another band when we were active and playing shows. There was a band in like the Midwest somewhere, and. You know, it's funny that you're mentioning this because we found out as a band later that they were actually kind of like, you know, I don't want to say alt-right, but, you know, close to it maybe. And, okay. And we were just like, oh God, like now what, you know, like, cause they were also like quote unquote a punk band, but they were like really not like anything that we're about. So like, you know, and they kept flagging us. So if anyone has ever like, well, I've never been able to find Pat's band. You can't. We're not on Bandcamp or anything because they always flagged us because they got the domain first.
Okay.
And so it was like, I tried writing Bandcamp about it. It was like, you know, it was clear like we're a parody of something. Like we're a parody of a movie.
Yeah.
And it's like a spoof. It's like a gimmick. It's, you know, whatever. But like, and I think I had to like write or call the guy to be like, listen, like, please, we're like my band poses no threat to your band. No one's going to confuse us, you know, and he eventually backed off and we had like a couple songs, but like, yeah, but to answer your question, we've gone by many names, famous original They Live as like an ode to New York pizza places and, also, they live the movie, The Band. We've gone on, okay. on different flyers like that. So yeah.
Well, we got something to say. Dun dun. We stormed the Capitol today and we got a, and I grabbed Nancy Pelosi's laptop.
But even then, Alex Jones as, you know, as the front person for that outfit would do far less damage than I would for his followers. So I'd take,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I'd take the switch.
Jason. Did he leave, Jason?
We may have lost Jason for the night. Yeah, I haven't.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Jason. Jason was not feeling 100%. No, I hope you feel better, buddy.
Feel better, Jason.
Yeah. So, got any other calls?
Yeah, we actually still have a full phone bank.
Let's do the full phones. Let's see what's what.
1 to 4. Here's one.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, this is Santi in Philly.
Santi in Philly, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well.
I'm glad to hear it.
So I got one for the topic.
What do you got, my friend?
So I've got two. The first one is Taco Fall.
Who?
I think it would be great. Taco Fall, you know, the 7'4" basketball player on the Celtics.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
I think that would be enjoyable just to like be the tallest person by so much.
Mm-hmm.
And also live as an NBA player and an NBA player who, like, I have zero basketball IQ. I'm very mm-hmm. bad at basketball, but I feel like they put him in kind of when the game is pretty quiet and, you know, he's so big. I feel like I could maybe figure it out. And that could be enjoyable.
To be an NBA player for one evening.
Yeah, exactly. And to be that tall, just like in the world.
No, that'd be cool. Okay. Yeah. What do you think he would get? What would be his deal with the other side of it? Being you for a day.
I think it might be nice to be at an average height. I'm 6 foot, so like maybe he'd be like, oh, you know, like I fit in this car so easily and little fit, like I don't need to duck when I go under doorways and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be interesting for him to not have to duck down and see how people smaller than he have are living their life.
Yeah.
I would say, I think you're getting the better part of the deal. No offense to you and your life. I'm saying as far as a freaky, I'm not judging the quality of your existence. I'm saying for the 24 hours, the most you can get out of the 24 hours, you're getting more out of the 24 hours than he is. I'm not saying you're living a bad life.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, he would like, we've got some art materials around our apartment, my girlfriend and I, and maybe he would like discover a love of painting, find like a new interest or something.
Sure.
A new passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will awaken a creative giant.
Yes. Exactly. He can be like a mural specialist, you know?
Is that what you do?
Near the ladder. No. I'm not really a painter as much, but once he got back in his normal body, you know,
mm-hmm.
any wall, he's good.
Any chance? Tell me, answer me this, my friend. Yeah. Are you going to buy one of these AP Mike NASCAR cutout things?
Wow. Well, you know, I'll have to check the shipping.
Oh, stop with that. The shipping.
I've got space.
You what?
I've got the space for it, so sure.
You got the space. Look, yeah. He's not going to gouge you on the shipping.
No, yeah. I thought he raised a good concern, so I was just, you know, backing up Mike.
Yeah, you're backing him up in the wrong way. this thing's got to exist. You're encouraging him to not make one because he's worried about mailing a package out.
You're right. You're definitely right.
I think it's great. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm in. And if it was up in a local beer store, I would frequent that one over all the others, regardless of my previous preferences.
You'd frequent a place that had an AP mic standee in it.
100%. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to hear. This is what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Anything else, my friend?
The other one was Anthony Bourdain, because I think it would be great to, like, when he was live filming his show, it'd be great to be, like, on the road, taking in the scenery. And I think maybe he would have, like, a nice low-pressure day, you know?
Okay, sure.
In my shoes. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You might give him a little bit of a respite.
Yeah.
From a life that seemed very, that seemed not as freewheeling as it may have seemed to bystanders.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice sentiment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you'd see how great the stuff he was doing is.
So he would see what it's like. He would see how much he's loved and appreciated.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Cause no one's doing that for me on the street. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I think you're on to something with this. Mm-hmm. You did a very nice one.
Oh, thank you.
All right, my friend. Thank you for the call.
Be well, Tom.
You have a grand evening. Okay. 201-332-3484 is the number. We're talking about the Freaky Fridays and who you'd switch places with and what their life would be like in your body. Got another call, Pat? Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Eric. Hello, Tom.
Eric, do I know this Eric?
I've called once or twice before. It was like middle of the pandemic, one of those like pop-up shows when there wasn't really a topic, and I was all nervous. And I called in during those times, so I'm calling back.
Well, you don't be nervous. You don't be nervous. You're amongst friends.
Well, I feel like I know you now. It's been, 10, 15 years, so I feel like I know you now.
Look at that. Look at that, Eric. You're going to get the book, Eric.
Oh, of course I'm going to get the book.
Good. Okay. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. I just want to know.
Of course. We'll support my friends.
Did you hear the Robert Fripp thing that Dudio bought?
Okay. Here's the thing. I've been listening all night. So when I first called, I had an idea of who I wanted to Freaky Friday with. And then when I heard Mike's introduction of him being drunk off a couple of beers, I thought, I'd like to Freaky Friday with Mike. I think that would be a good guy to Freaky Friday with. Yeah. And then when I heard the Robert Fripp, I was like, I'd love to Freaky Friday with Tom, because that would be a great show to go to. Like my Freaky Friday keeps changing because.
Okay, that's fine. What would I get? Say we did the Freaky Friday switcheroonie. What am I going to see in your life?
Well, here's the reason that I feel comfortable Freaky Friday is that I'm in my mid-40s. I've been married to my wife for 23 years now. And I make a lot of dumb jokes. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter. I make a lot of dumb jokes, and they make them last too long. So if we got Freaky Friday, they knew who you are because of Steven Universe and all this kind of stuff. So if we got Freaky Friday, it would just be you saying in my body, hey, I'm not actually your dad. I'm Tom Sharpling. And they'd be like, that's hilarious. And they'd be like, so I think that would be the funny part, is that for the whole 24 hours that you were in my body, my family just wouldn't believe you. And then I'd go back and
And it would be just business as usual is what you're saying.
Exactly. So that's why I don't feel that there's any negative part on my side to freak. I don't think it'd be negative for me to Freaky Friday anybody. Like originally my idea was to Freaky Friday Donald Trump, but then Pat, who actually answered my call, it was wonderful to talk to Pat. He sounds like such a sweet guy.
He's a nice guy. Pat's a great guy.
He does. He sounds like a very nice guy. So originally my idea was Donald Trump because I thought that would be the perfect guy. Because then you go on to Twitter or whatever and you just say, I was wrong. Women are the smartest people in the world. You should listen to women. Or, you know, gay people are great. And, you know, let's let all the immigrants in because that's what the Bible says. You know, and you really screw the whole thing up. I think that would probably be the most impactful Freaky Friday. But then Pat was absolutely right with Alex Jones. I think if you take somebody with a big audience, you could really make a difference.
That's true. I'd probably freak you. For me personally, I'd probably do Major Biden.
I hate to, as an American person whose president is Joe Biden. I don't know who Major Biden is.
It's his dog.
I didn't realize that was the name of the dog.
Yeah.
I suppose it'd be a nice 24 hours.
Would be pretty good to be Major Biden. And like I said before, I'll say it again. If I was Major Biden, I'd do some Major Biting.
Let me loosen the Senate. Oh, and one other thing that I wanted to mention. Somebody earlier mentioned about Hulk Hogan. There, he did do a main event with Mr. T. And he did. He choked out Belzer on TV.
But I think the whole point is that the only time he seemed to be working with people of color is if they're famous.
Yes. Oh, I'm not going to say a bad word, but yeah, Hulk Hogan seems like a real piece of crap. He really is.
Look, the only thing he's got going for him is that beautiful face.
Head of hair. That beautiful cotton candy head of hair. It's,
yeah. Well, I think that's a good one. And I'm flattered.
Yeah, I'd freak it right with you anything. I mean, don't be wrong.
You're sweet. You're sweet to say that. And I hope you have a grand evening.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Of course. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Tom, do you remember those ads for Major World?
Do I remember those ads? Are you kidding? They were the greatest ads ever. It was a car dealership in Queens.
Yeah, Queens. It's still there, I think.
I drove by Major the other day.
Look, you're back.
Yeah. I texted you guys. I said I'm back.
I saw that much after that. Yeah, we thought you got off for the night, which was totally fine. But
oh no, no,
I just, we wished you well, and then I saw your text.
Well, that's really kind, but I'm back.
Okay.
You should have heard it. We were just like, "Where is he? Where is he?" Now, Jason.
I didn't say you weren't coming back, Jason.
Thank you, Mike.
That's true. Mike did not.
What a twist.
But every time I hear Major Biden, mm-hmm. I think Major World, and then I think and because we're talking about dogs, I keep thinking Major World is actually a great name for a dog.
That would be a real I think it's a good name for a dog. What if Major Biden appeared at Major World?
My head would explode.
And you get to pet him. If you buy a car,
I'd buy a car, even though I have a car.
You get like 10% off if he bites you.
They'd have
yeah.
me.
I'd then be, you get it. Yeah,
running there.
That's the whole thing. If you get bit, you get a discount, but you don't know he's going to bite a few people that day. You don't know if it's going to be you. Like people are on the. It's like hands on a hard body. People are on the lot, waiting to see if Major Biden chomps them, and they get a discount. People are showing up. Rubbing sausage all over their arms, hoping that he mistakes them for a hamburger. I would love to see Major Biden make an appearance at Major World. Major World, for people who don't know, I do believe it's somewhat underrepresented online. It was definitely a cable television thing. Very, even after people had moved past cable television. Major World was full on broadcast television. They would do these infomercials that were just amazing in the, in how elaborate and ridiculous they were. There'd be bands playing. There was one that had like aliens coming down and ladies in pretty ladies in revealing clothes and dancing. And it was just like a bizarre, everything but the kitchen sink kind of approach to a commercial for cars. Do you remember those, Pat?
But also their intense radio ads, which still happen. I mean, I still hear them driving around with the guy practically screaming the words Major World over and over and over.
Major World.
I vaguely remember the TV ones with the aliens and stuff like that. Now that you mention it, yeah. But but it's still ingrained in my brain because I still hear it just flipping around radio driving.
Yeah.
Around. And then doing a double take when you're on whatever highway or whatever like main throughway that is in Queens that you pass.
Northern Boulevard.
Thank you. And so like you do like a double or triple take because you're like, oh my God, it's Major World. Like you almost want to stop even though you don't know why you want to stop.
No, I literally felt like that when we test drove a car this past weekend and we were on Northern Boulevard and passed Major World and I gasped because I had never seen it before, but I'd always heard the ad on 1010 Winds.
Well, if you're in the market, I mean, just go to Major World.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when I would drive down Route 1 and there would be that dumb football player had his car dealership.
Oh, yeah.
Around Princeton. Who was that? Who was that? New York Giant who the commercials were always trying to be like slightly outrageous, but completely tame. And Mike, you knew who I'm talking about.
You know what's
funny? Offensive lineman. I'm trying to.
I just Googled New York Giant car dealership and Major World came up. I'm not even joking. Right. It's the first
Major
hit.
World, yeah. Maybe. I don't know who that would be. Who owns Major World?
Wait, former Giants lineman, South Brunswick car dealership. Is that it?
Probably. Something like that. Yeah, like Route 1.
Let me find
Route 1, New Jersey.
Brad Benson.
Yeah. Brad Benson, that's exactly it. And they'd be like...
Brad Benson Hyundai.
Brad Benson Hyundai, and they would always have these radio commercials that would be just like, you know, a lot of people want to know who's going to win the debate this week. And so it's just, and you're like, this is the most toothless... It was like Dickie Goodman level comedy.
On the positive side, I mean... I haven't heard one of those in years, so I think it wasn't a good investment.
No. Brad Benson's probably every time he hears WFAN, he shakes his fist at the car radio, being like, yeah, I sunk about 400 grand into some spots. The only thing it got me is people coming here asking if I got Phil Simms' cell phone number. You know Phil Simms? Phil Simms. How is it that New York City, and look, football blows. Everybody knows it. It's dumb. It's boring. It's a sport basically that is run by some dope who's up in a booth looking down at the field like a grid, not the actual players. But of all, so I'm not a fan. So when I say this, I'm not a fan. Football blows. Baseball is boring. Everybody knows that. Everybody, that's fact. It's not even up for discussion anymore. The only way you can watch baseball these days, they're actually marketing it this way. As I saw, I went to a liquor store and they had a cardboard cutout for this three-time World Series champion, AP Mike. And he was saying you need to get to the golden, what was it again?
Golden Glow.
The Golden Glow.
But here's the thing about the Golden Glow. It's short-lived. It doesn't last long. I mean, you have to keep drinking beer, so I haven't continued, and it dissipates quickly.
So you felt that golden glow fade away?
It was there for about 10 minutes, and then it's gone.
There's like an updated version of Comfortably Numb. When I was a boy, I drank four beers. I had the golden glow, but then it left after 10 minutes. Mike, you're on to something. The golden glow, catch it. It would be you dressed in a Yankees uniform. We'll just put you in the Yankees. Just say like a designated hitter. AP Mike. Yeah, so what I was saying, New York had these two football players, Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason, and they look like twins. Of all the people that could happen in a thing, these are two meatheads with these shocks of blonde hair. I mean, what do they look like? It's like Dumb and Dumber, these two guys.
Yeah, Dumber being Esiason.
Yeah, no, he's terrible. They're all terrible. They're both terrible, and they're bad announcers.
Well, Phil Simms won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
He did.
No, he didn't win it.
He did.
What's his face?
I think he was even a MVP.
Lawrence Taylor won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, he helped.
What was the score of that Super Bowl? that amazing Super Bowl that
when the Buffalo Bills missed the field goal.
Tell me the amazing score that quarterback led the New York Giants to for their Super Bowl triumph. How many points did he put on the board?
I don't know. I think there was about 14, right? Something like that.
I think that's Eli Manning.
It was low scoring.
It was low. That's why I loved it so much, because I couldn't stand that one guy, that coach, that blowhard coach for the Giants.
Parcells.
He's like, everybody in New York, oh, Coach Parcells, Mr. Parcells, like so reverent.
Uh-huh.
And then the Giants get this dolt, this like weird guy, Eli Manning, who you wouldn't even know that he was like a fan of football, let alone a quarterback. Like this scrawny looking dude. And then they get this coach that's like the grandpa from Petticoat Junction. What was that guy's name again? Kaufman?
Yeah.
Kaufman. What was his first name? Tom Kaufman.
Yeah.
So they get Tom Kaufman, who really, he really looked like the grandfather on like Hee Haw. Right? And they get that guy and this other guy who doesn't even look like a football player, and they win two Super Bowls. And it was the greatest thing ever because it completely invalidates like this macho jerk. Like all these macho jerks. Like, hey, these two mutants did the same thing you did. I love it. And I'm going to say this. There's a couple of you out there, you did me dirty. I'm not naming names. A couple people did me dirty. I didn't forget. I'm just laying back. I'm in the weeds right now, in the tall grass. A couple of you rats did me dirty. We'll see where we're all standing when it's all said and done. That's all I'm going to say.
I missed this.
It's coming back, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming back. The old fight's coming back. Couple of you rats, you did me dirty, you look out. The old tiger still got a few more antelope to chomp. I don't even know if tigers eat antelope.
Yeah, they do.
I'm assuming they would.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? I'd eat an antelope if I eat meat.
Maybe a water buffalo.
Maybe a water buffalo. Now, Jason, who would you Freaky Friday with between Mike and Pat?
Oh, between the two of them?
Yeah. I want to ask you between the two of them and then just with anybody.
Okay. I'd probably, no offense, Mike, but I would probably Freaky Friday Pat because he's got a great dog. I love Jub Jub. get to hang out with Jub-Jubs.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, but that's... I don't buy it for a second. Yeah, that's why you want a Freaky Friday.
Right.
And the dog.
You have a nice dog too, right?
I do. I do. Mm-hmm. He just turned 16.
Well, happy birthday, Hans.
Yeah, thank you.
So who in any walk of life would you Freaky Friday with?
I'm probably going to go a little strategic, like Colette was going there, and I think I would Freaky Friday Josh Gad. Mm-hmm. And I would, so he would be me. Mm-hmm. And then I would kind of screw with his career to make sure like all of the funny fat roles would go over to Jason Gore.
Okay.
And then I guess I would have to like learn a lesson or something to be able to reactivate the Freaky Friday to go back.
Yeah. What if you heard that it got stuck?
I know. Then I would have ruined it. My whole plan.
Yeah. Now you're stuck. You're stuck in Josh Gad's body.
Maybe that was the lesson that I was being greedy.
Yeah.
And then I have to work on my career as Josh Gad and fixing that.
And now you're stuck. You're stuck inside Josh Gad. Yeah, that would be, I'd be playing with fire. I wouldn't, I'd be like, are we sure about this Freaky Friday technology?
Yeah. You can bring me back like pretty quickly.
No chance I'm
going
to get stuck in. Yeah. You guys guarantee I can't get stuck inside Josh Gad, for example. Yeah, it's fine. Fine. Just drink the drink. And it would be a drink. It wouldn't be a.
Yeah. No, isn't there's no quantum leap machine. It is like a purple drink.
It's like a weird purple drink, exactly.
Someone finally drink smoke it. Coming the off the top. Stuff.
What's that, Pat?
Someone finally takes the purple stuff when after being offered Sunny D, and that's what happens. That's the inciting incident.
That would do it to stay away from the purple stuff. And what were they ripping on? That always bugged me with that Sunny D.
It looked good, right? I always thought it looked
like
was it Juicy Juice?
Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Sonny D? Really, you really think the rest of us are falling? Sonny D is going to be so amazing. It's like weird watered down orange juice.
Always destroyed my stomach. Like always, with never failed.
Really, you're gonna give a High C the hi hat. Sonny D's coming in here giving High C the hi hat. I don't like it. Shame on you, Sonny D. When's the last time you had Sonny D, anyone on the show right now?
Oof. Probably high school.
5 years? 5 years. Yeah, I've probably
Mike's never had it.
I never heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Sonny Delight?
What is it, orange soda?
No, it's like a weird fake orange juice.
Yeah.
Orange juice.
Really tangy fake orange juice. Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Well,
Tang is better.
You're sure.
Yeah. I know Tang. Yeah.
Tang's way better.
Can you imagine Tang? You go through the space program and that's what they got for you. Be like, wait, you can't get me a Diet Dr. Pepper up here? We're all the way in space. You can't get me a Diet Dr. Pepper. You couldn't put Diet Dr. Pepper in powder form. For me to whip up a nice Diet Dr. Pepper on the ship. You know what I'd say then? Fine. Set the controls for the heart of the sun. That's what I'd say. We're taking this thing right into the sun. You're going to have some of the best footage you ever saw. And then they would, I'd steer the ship right at the heart of the sun. And then right as we got right to the surface of the sun, they'd be like, no, we'll get you some Diet Dr. Pepper. Then I'd turn the thing around.
But then, you would be in the gravitational pull of the sun, and it'd be too late.
I'm a pretty good driver. I think I could navigate that.
I think it would be too late way before you got to the surface.
No, it wouldn't. That's why you're not flying no spaceships, Mike.
Check Carl Sagan. Check the Carl Sagan Cosmos.
Yeah. Well, Seth MacFarlane's Cosmos says I can do it. Have we got any calls?
We still have a full phone bank.
Let's do the full phone and then say goodnight. Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Kyle in Chicago.
Kyle in Chicago. Have we spoken before, Kyle?
Yeah, we spoke a couple times. Most recently, I called in for the, you know, like, help people remember thing you forgot.
Yeah, what was that?
It was and a listener found it on Twitter, and I got the song. And
what song was it again?
It was it's called Love Come Down. Love Come Down. It's a very popular song by God. Of course, I'm gonna forget the name now. On the
air, at least you got part of it. You can always search the final aspects. You know, I was thinking about one also.
Yeah, please.
What's that?
Sorry.
Go
ahead.
You go ahead. You go. You're my guest. You go ahead.
Well, I have one for the topic, but I also have something that's more pressing.
What's that?
It's this game that I think you'll be interested in.
Wait, this is not the game.
No.
I'm not doing that. Don't the game me.
Who would, right? No, it's this game. It's called Guess the Movie Length. And you can play it with two people if Brett was around or you know, if Jason or Pat want to play. But it's called Guess the Movie Length. So
first of all, that's one of the most insulting things I've ever heard. If Brett was around or the three guys who are here every week for years.
I know Pat and Jason. Pat picked up my call. I said, is this Pat or Jason? No, sorry. Jason picked up my call. No, wait. Jason was sick. Anyway.
All right. Look, but you had to, you zung him. You chose Brett, who's not an official Best Show producer.
Of first.
That's fine. And, no,
maybe,
look.
Maybe someday he can ascend to that.
Yeah, role. Maybe. To dare to dream. So what is this? Guess the movie length. Give me a movie and let me see if I can guess it. Me and you were going to. No, not me and you, because you know it already.
Well, no. There's a few things where you have to be like very gentle with the rules. You can't say a movie that you know, right? Like I know that the Ten Commandments is 4 hours long. So if I'm pranking somebody, I would say, oh, Ten Commandments, how long is it? Right. No, it's 4 hours. But here, let's just run one. Ghostbusters.
1 hour, 57 minutes.
So, okay. This is the other thing, Tom. I think there's a split decision. I think that it should always just be the full minutes, right? So 1 hour, 57 minutes would be, right? 60 plus 1 hour, 57. I think it's 145.
You think it's 1 hour and 45 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say 143.
There you go, 143.
All right, well, what is it?
It might be 137. I don't have it written down. We need to check. Can somebody check it?
Can someone check it?
Hold on.
I said 150, 1 hour, 57 minutes.
I said 147.
We're doing Ghostbusters, not Ghostbusters 2, right?
Yeah,
right, no. OG Ghostbusters, as Philly Boy Roy mentioned.
1 second.
And then whoever hits it, whoever's within 5 minutes gets to name the next movie. That's the game. And it can go on forever, right? Like, you don't even have to.
That ain't how it's going down on this show,
so,
my friend.
So, could you guys say your times again?
1 hour, 57 minutes.
Okay.
I said 147.
You said 147?
That's right.
It's 147.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, hang up on him. Yeah, hang up on him.
He knew this was. He knew Ghostbusters.
He's a cheater and hang up on him. He's a toilet mouth and a cheater. You want to be a toilet mouth? I'll allow it. Everybody can slip up. Okay, gets Ghostbusters to this minute. He suggests it and gets it. Well, you think I'm a sucker? You think I was born yesterday? I'm not. I'm old. Yeah. Look, the kids that work on this show, they're young. these kids, they weren't even a glimmer in their pappy's eye when I was doing this show. But Andy, I like to work with kids. I like to work with kids because they make me feel young.
IMDb says 105 minutes. So he was technically wrong.
105 minutes. You know how long Ghostbusters is? Two. Too long.
How long is Ghostbusters 2?
I don't know. 2 hours.
Mike?
Oh, I'll say 137.
Pat?
I'm pleading the fifth on this one.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that call.
Yeah, I agree.
1 hour, 50 minutes.
Wow. Longer.
Yeah. They had to cram three more minutes in.
There was so much more to accomplish.
Well, the Statue of Liberty had to get across the water. It took some time.
I don't think I saw the second one.
Ghostbusters. We all got to leave Ghostbusters behind. You know what? Ghostbusters sucked? Every one of them sucked. Anything called Ghostbusters is terrible. Uh-huh. Oh, the one with all the women is terrible. Yeah, it is. You know which one's also bad? The one with the guys in it. The second one with the guys in it. The cartoon with the them in it. The other cartoon within it. And this one that didn't even come out yet sucks.
Well, I was working on Ernie Hudson, so I won't get him on the show.
Well, you might want to change gears on that.
I'm gonna skip Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, no, we could talk about Hand that Rocks the Cradle or other things he did. We'll just leave Ghostbusters behind. All right, another call, Pat. Please.
Let's do it.
That's one of those songs I was trying to figure out the other day. Like, I didn't know who did that song. Here, that's what I'm living for. I like to do. You know that song? I was like, who's that by? And it's like by like Murphy in the Mouth. Like, what? So, okay. What do we got here? Best show, hi.
Hi, it's Emily.
Hi. Emily.
Yes.
Emily, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chester County.
From Chester County, the pride of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Right. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Emily?
I'm calling about the topic.
Freaky Friday.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have one?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Thinking about this one. Yeah.
What do you got?
I think I've been toying around with this one. I feel like I would pick either Jennifer Aniston or Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, interesting. Now, what makes those two people appealing to you?
So I feel like it would be interesting to see, like, what the life with Goldie Hawn and Russell would be like.
Kurt Russell,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You want to see what the real goings-on are.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about Jennifer Aniston?
I feel like it's my generation. Like, Jennifer Aniston was, you know, Friends and... Like, why can't she find a relationship? Like, what's life with her like?
You ever listen to Meet My Friends of Friends?
I don't think so, no.
Oh.
No, maybe. Hold on. Let me think about that.
You'd know if you were listening to it. It's a podcast I do.
Oh, okay.
It's a Friends recap podcast.
Okay, maybe I have.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You sound, that sounds like a
No, maybe I haven't. No, maybe I haven't.
Yeah, maybe you haven't. You haven't. It's okay. You can say you haven't heard it.
Okay. I have not. Okay, I have not. Okay.
Well, now you got something to look forward to.
I have to listen to it now.
You no, do. It's really funny. It's funny. It's a funny show. Okay. I'm telling you, it's funny. It's not really a Friends recap show if you listen to it. It's about other stuff.
Okay.
Will you check it out?
I definitely will check it out now that you
Do you think Jason's funny? Do you think Jason Dudio Gore is funny?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Well, do you think Pat Byrne is funny? Pat?
Yes.
Oh, why would you say it like that? That's you said it like, yes.
I like Mike.
You like Mike. Well, not a whole lot of Mike on Meet My Friends of Friends. Maybe there okay. will be someday. Maybe we're holding him back for a special part.
Hey, Tom. Oh, okay. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, what's that, Pat?
Can you ask me if I like this call?
Pat, do you like this call?
Yes.
Oh, that's how you made Pat feel, Emily.
I'm sorry. I feel bad. I'm sorry.
Okay,
now.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Everybody can work through this. We can all be friends. Emily's going to listen to Meet My Friends of Friends, and she's going to realize, you know what? Pat is great.
I guess I'm old school. Maybe that's what it is.
And look, you'll get plenty of mic. You get plenty of mic. You buy that cardboard cutout of them we're going to be selling.
Okay, I'll do
will
that.
You buy one of those? Will you buy one?
Sure. Yeah, I will.
Okay. See, Mike, there's one sold already. So what would it be like to be Jennifer Aniston? You think what, you're going to start rooting through her drawers?
I'm just more curious, like, what's going on with her? Why can't she stay with someone? Or is it her? Is it them? Like, what is it?
But the thing is, you won't know because you're her.
That is true. But I'll be in tune. I'll be like, I'm her because of this.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think Jennifer Aniston's life would be if she's Freaky Friday inside your body and world? What would her life be all of a sudden?
I feel like she would have fun. She would have love. She would have, like, I don't know. I have a good life. I feel like she would, you know, she wouldn't have millions of dollars, but.
What if you switch back and then suddenly you realize you're in jail because Jennifer Aniston murdered somebody in your body, like the movie. That's like that movie Freaky. I got to see that movie.
Oh.
I want to watch that movie, Freaky.
Which one's that? I don't know.
It came out earlier this year. It's like a horror version of Freaky Friday.
Oh, no. That would be terrible.
Yeah. Anything else, my friend?
What's your Freaky Friday? It would be your Freaky Friday.
Probably Freaky Friday with the guy who played Artie Bucco on Sopranos. That way I get to go on the Sopranos podcast, talk all about my memories of that, sign a couple autographs. You'll know I Freaky Friday'd with him if there's an episode of The Best Show and I'm just talking about The Sopranos and how good Artie Bucco is on it. Because that'll be him doing the talking, not me. All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
I did like the call. I was just teasing
her. Yeah, you're giving her the business. All right, what else we got? Another call, please.
Final two.
Final two. Boom, 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 boom. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this?
This is Connor from Montreal.
Connor from Montreal. What part of Montreal? Old Montreal.
That's too rich for my blood.
Okay.
I'm in the plateau area, near the mountains.
Okay. It's very nice. It's very beautiful in Montreal.
Oh, I love it.
Now, you, when you look at Toronto, what's your name again?
Connor.
Connor, that's right. Connor, I apologize. Connor, when you look at Toronto, are you just like, who do they think they are? A little bit, right? A little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No disrespect to any Torontonians listening, of course.
Mm-hmm. No, but you look at them as, because they think they're like the New York of Canada, right? Is that fair to say?
I'd say so. Yeah, sure.
And they got almost no French-Canadian presence. Pretty much zero, right?
Not really, no. Yeah.
So you look, well, but then you also think they're kind of like hillbillies, right? You think they're kind of like rubes.
No, I kind of think of them as...
They're basic.
I don't know if this is a term, but condo people. If that
condo people, gotcha, okay. You think they're condo people.
You know, just they got a little money to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You think they think they're so fancy.
Yes, exactly. I think that's it.
But they also don't realize that Montreal, you got the best bagels there, right? In Canada.
Absolutely. Absolutely true.
And you go to that one bagel place that, you went to that one bagel place that Leonard Cohen used to eat at, right?
Yeah, of course. I live around the corner from where, Leonard Cohen used to live, okay. Actually.
And then you got great bands too, right? Who's a great band from Montreal? No Joy. That's a great band.
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of into hardcore and stuff. I really like Gasm. Okay. There's a new, Paul Jacobs?
Paul Jacobs, he's in the band called, he's the drummer for the band called what now?
I can't remember. But
he's got a solo album came out this week.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. No, it's about pottery. Pottery.
Yeah, I'm dying. I want to check that album out.
They're great. They're great guys, too.
Pottery are great? I don't know pottery.
They're, they're really fun. If you like the Talking Heads, they'll scratch that itch.
Okay. Well, that's an itch that's not that itchy for me. That itch.
That's fair.
I like Talking Heads just fine. I know people think I hate them. I don't hate them. I just don't think they're one of the best bands ever. That's all. Very simple.
I feel like if you're from the New York-ish area, they probably come up a little too much.
Yeah, they do, because everybody in New York, Knicks won two championships. Everybody's still blabbing about it. 1973 is the last time they won. Act like it was the most historical thing that ever happened. There have been a couple blackouts. Everybody's still talking about that as if it's the most monumental thing that ever happened. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, you go through and you get a blackout. You got no power for 2 weeks. Ain't nobody writing a soliloquy about you. And And there's like three bands that actually came from New York that are New York bands.
That's the truth. Yeah. I mean, it's the same in Montreal, if I'm going to be honest.
Who's your favorite? Think of Montreal, though. Think of the great bands. Who's another great one? I can think of a one that... Islands.
True. The Unicorns.
Unicorns and Islands. I like Islands better than the Unicorns.
That's fair. They accomplished more in the end.
On the beginning, middle, and end, they accomplished more.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. No.
So look,
I had one for the topic.
Yeah, what do you got? Let's hear it.
I was kind of thinking Neil Young for the Freaky Friday.
That's a good one.
Because here's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I trust Neil Young. He's not gonna muck up anything in my life. If he wakes up in my bed, what's he gonna do? he's not gonna. I mean, he'll play guitar maybe. I don't know if he'd go to my job, but you know, nothing's gonna go wrong.
I think he's gonna go. That sounds like some famous last words there, my friend. I think you're gonna pay a real price. I think Neil Young's gonna he's gonna muddle things up for you. Then you're gonna be, I swear, it was Neil Young. For 24 hours, Neil Young was in my body, and he was the one that messed it up. That wasn't me. I could tell you, I was at his ranch and everything. I was in his body.
Exactly.
Nobody's gonna believe you.
Yeah, that's true. My roommate was just telling me that he owns and operates his own rail line in Northern Ontario, which sounds pretty wacky, but...
Neil Young does?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I do know is that there's a town in North Ontario. I'm kidding. That's a Neil Young lyric. There's a town in North Ontario. Yeah! You go to those Neil Young shows and it's just like, and I felt like getting high. Yeah. He should just stop the show at one point and go like, seriously? You guys are that simple? Yeah. You gotta scream when somebody mentions getting high?
I wish I could stand on the same side as you, Tom, but I'll be honest. I'm the guy who's yelling. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
I would yell that. Only way I'd yell that is if I was at a show with that band that did. I'd yell yeah at that show.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Anything else, my friend? I got a boogie.
Not at all. Thanks so much for the good night, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great night. Final call. Final call coming up. Here we go. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Nate in Ohio.
Nate in Ohio. What's going on tonight, Nate?
Oh, it's just a nonstop party here.
Are you serious or are you being a funny guy?
I'm being facetious. It's pretty quiet. Okay. Actually,
no, that's fine. A nonstop party.
Yeah.
Well, look, Nate, I want to go eat some food. Sure. I have no dinner. Sorry for being a little restless. Yeah. What do you got for me, my friend?
Well, I'll make it quick. I was relieved earlier when you said you'd like to change places with Major Biden because I wasn't sure if non-humans were fair game.
Oh, you can do a Freaky Friday with a dog. You're going to end up being pretty weird, though, for 24 hours. People would be like, if I did that, suddenly, if I did it on a Tuesday, the best show would be like...
Right.
It would just be like Major Biden inside me, like, hosting the show. Be like...
I'd listen to that, though.
Why? Do you want to? What animal do you want to change places with?
Well, my animal is, I was thinking it would be interesting to change places with Bart the Bear from the seminal film The Edge.
Oh, that would be great. Because first of all, you get to meet Sir Anthony Hopkins, right? And Sir Alec Baldwin.
Has he been knighted yet?
Yes, he was. He was knighted. Okay. Saturday knighted. Right. That's the new. That's an American knighting. Is Saturday knighting? Where you get to do a character 40 times.
Yeah.
So you'd be Bart the Bear.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Well, first of all, I think it would be fun to, you know, run after and try to chomp like Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin for 24 hours. But
what one man can do, another can do.
Yeah.
One man can do, another can do.
That's a great movie. I just watched that film for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I had no idea that that line that you had appropriated was from that film, so it kind of blew my mind when it came to that point.
What one man can do, another can do. Say it. What one man can do, another can do. Again. What one man can do, another can do. Let's go get that bear. All right. And on that note, my friend, I say thank you to you for your great call. I tip my hat to you and I wish you nothing but the best going forward. Thank you for listening to The Best Show. Another fun one in the books. We're going to boogie, say goodnight, and wish you all the best. And we will be back next week. And I appreciate everything from all of you. And I will leave you with what? A song? Better than a song. You know what I'm leaving you with, right, Jason? You know.
Oh, I know.
Tom, Robert Fripp, waving to you from the cellar of our home here in Breedenborough, Middle England, to congratulate you on actually getting It Never Ends ended. And I would like you to know that I have pre-ordered it from Amazon here in England, and it may come out on July the 6th over there. It comes out here a month later, but I'm a patient man. Jason would like you to know how excited he is with your amazing book. And Jason is all over it. As my own personal thank you to you and your work, and to celebrate your book coming out, I would like you to invite you to the King Crimson Show in Holmdel, New Jersey, which is currently scheduled for Sunday, the 5th of September. If that's no good for you, well, there's Philly on the 7th of September, and providing these go ahead, your name plus one will be on my personal guest list for those shows. So look, lots of love, Tom. Congratulations and bless you for your work over the years. Cheers from Robert.